All right. No laps today, so I can talk. How you guys doing? Like, I feel like this slide is doing really good. What do you guys think? You guys got that? Xtina's like, just bring it over here, please. Wow. Okay, Carlos is bringing it big time. 3, 2, 1. You guys are sitting down. Come on, get up. Well, 3, 2, 1. You guys win. Wow, awesome. Okay, we are ready now. After lunch, you guys can try again, okay? You guys came from behind for the victory. Ah, man, we've got some good stuff today. How many of you guys are a little bit overwhelmed from yesterday? Like, holy cow, that was insane. Danny came out with two guns blazing. That was awesome. How many of you guys, like, started taking notes? And then just like an hour later, you look down at a blank page. Anybody like that? You're like, and then you're like, oh crap, I didn't. Good news is there's an MP3, right? If you don't know how to get the MP3, it's basically Insider. $99 gets you the MP3s. It's definitely worth it. You cannot write as fast as Danny talks. It's impossible, so. Cool. How many of you guys were at Pastor Carlos's mini sermon this morning? The fast track crowd, that was awesome. Thank you for that. That was just for me. I appreciate you. Man. All right. We've got to get busy here. Danny's going to be on stage in 3 minutes. Who's ready for a little more Danny Johnson? All right. Danny's going to be bringing some structure to the mess she made yesterday. How many of you guys ready for that, some of that? Ready to learn how to apply what she gave you the foundation. She kind of cleaned the slate. How many of you guys are excited about a new clean slate? Yes. That's what yesterday was all about. Today is going to start building on that. By the end of tomorrow night, you're going to be dialed in, super stoked. Tonight, after from like 7 to 9, we're going to do a session primarily for home business entrepreneurs, but it's really good for everybody. Who would like to make $2,000 in 10 hours? Yes. Danny built a system to do just that, and we're going to show you exactly what she did to build that system back in the day. So it works today just as well, and we're going to give you that system so you can apply it to your business and start seeing some growth. How would you like to help other people make $2,000 in 10 hours? That's what it's all about, right? So cool. All right, this morning we've got an amazing story that I get to share with you this morning. Her name is Jen Horling, right here. Come on up. Most of you have seen Jen. It's hard to miss her. And she has an outrageous, outrageous story from the last couple of events, and I wanted her to share her quick version of that. Here you go.
Sure. I am Jen. My first event was in January in San Diego, and I came to that event broke and frustrated. And the interesting thing is, I had already had an incredible life journey. God had already done amazing things in my life post-tragedy. And the problem was, why I was frustrated was because I was in circles that all viewed that as amazing. They thought, yes, God has done amazing things in your life. We can't believe this. And my response was, yes, he has, but he's not done yet. Yeah! He's not done with me yet. And I knew my God was way bigger than what he had already done. And but I had no one speaking into that, no one providing guidance and coaching that could speak to, where do I go from here? How do I take this bigger? How do I deal with the passion and the purpose and the vision that I know God has placed on my heart for people and for everything he's given me? And here I land at my first steps to success, and I hear Danny, and here's this woman speaking about exactly that. How do you take it bigger? How do you follow a God who is way bigger and has bigger plans for you? And post San Diego, I was blown away. By the second day of the conference, I knew that God had answered a cry that was on my heart for over 15 years for this kind of coaching, for this kind of mentorship that could train you of how to do that. And I was so moved that I knew I wanted to get the whole DJU, but I was like, how do I do this? and I wish I would have just bought it right then, but I actually bought a few other of the softwares at the first event and then the second. And then I started thinking, why am I waiting? Why am I piecemealing it when I know I'm going to want to do everything? So that's why I have it today.
That's awesome. Congratulations. So what's happened in your business? Like, you're an independent contractor in design and production. So what's happened since January to today?
So 2 days after I came home from San Diego, I was just reaching out to a friend who works in film, asking how he's doing, and he ended up bringing me on for a music video, a big-time one, and he paid me out of his own pocket, created a position that didn't even exist, just because he wanted to work with me, and that turned into getting hired on a Chinese feature film, which shot in China, it shot in Japan, and then I got hired for the Las Vegas unit, which is where I live. And now we're awaiting, we're working on a $4 million feature. I was broke in January.
Wow. So how, what of Danny's skills do you think that you've learned here have really kind of helped you get in, like, accelerate your career like that?
I mean, it's so many things. Every single event I've been here, there's just been so many principles that really resonated and sunk in, and I was able to just see them, like, explode in every aspect. One of them was the, you know, he who is faithful with little will be trusted with much. And I realized that that was, like, a principle that needed to be affecting every single part of my life, relationships, money, everything. And so it just exploded when I started to pay attention to everything more.
That's so cool. Awesome. So what's you got your DJU. What's your goal for the next event? Where do you want to be?
Paying off more debt.
Awesome. And which, by the way, how much have you paid off already?
$4,000
for 2 months. So awesome. Would you like to introduce Danny?
It'd be my pleasure.
Awesome. Go for it.
Everybody, welcome our favorite coach and mentor, Danny Johnson.
Some work to do. We got some stuff to do. You're so sweet. Thank you. Thank you. My jacket is 26 years old. I've had this jacket longer than I've had Brian Niederhaus as my friend. I've had this jacket as long as I've had my second born child. And let's talk about the shoes, which I forgot to take the Sharpie to them. I could do that now. I bought these cheap pair of shoes, 13 years ago. Yeah, 13 years ago, bought these cheap pair of shoes. And why? Because that's how 2% does it. That's how 2% does it. I used to be the shopaholic, and that's why we were broke. Because that mindset was throughout my whole life. The shopaholic was in the grocery store. Do you understand? The shopaholic was at the restaurant. The shopaholic, that whole mindset that 98% spend was everywhere. Electronics, do you understand? Furniture. Everywhere. That disease was in everything. Not to mention $25,000 a month on fun, which to me was shopping in New York City. Thus, the silk normal Okamali jacket. Idiot. Straight up idiot. So I'm going to wear it till I'm like 95. Because I am going to get every frickin' penny out of this darn jacket. Of course, I'm wearing a $30 dress underneath it. $50 shoes that are really, like, it's almost... Well, once I take the Sharpie to it, they'll look perfect. So please don't look too closely. You have a Sharpie? Thank you so much. I think I'll take advantage of that lunchtime because they need help. So anyway, but that's how... Now, let me tell you something. Yesterday, we did... Brian said it perfectly. We laid a foundation, right? We cleared the slate. We found the cracks in your foundation. And for some of you, you've been building your life on quicksand. Is there anybody here that was building their life on quicksand? Yes. This is why you had to keep restarting over and over again, right? Why is everything falling apart? Because the wind came. There it goes. Okay. So we helped to establish a new foundation from the inside out, right? And working towards getting yourself healthy. Healthy emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, and financially. All right? So we established several principles, one of which about prospering where you're planted, like Candida did, right? What kind of a team did she have to work with? What kind of center of influence did she have to network with to solve this horrific problem in Nicaragua of 281 families totally homeless, living at a dump site, right? How do you fix this problem? How many would say that sometimes your problems seem bigger than your ability to solve them? Would you say that Candida's problem was much bigger than her ability, than her resources, than her education, right? So when you see a Candida, you just know that nothing is impossible. She honestly is one of the most inspirational people I've ever met in my entire life. I've learned more from the poor about good character. I've learned more from the poor about love than I have anybody in this country. More from the poor about God than I have from any preacher I've ever traveled the world with. More than any scholar, I've learned more from the poor about humility, thanksgiving, gratitude, an amazing attitude than I have anyone on this earth. More from the poor. So I encourage you to come see the poor with me. We're going to do a trip to Nicaragua. It's going to be this summer. It's going to be in July. It's going to be at the end of July. And wow, Carmen, those shoes. Oh, wow. Those are not good to wear today. Sorry, I had a squirrel moment and the squirrel ran right there. Wow. Are we the same size? We're nines, aren't we? Do we both wear a nine? You're an eight. They want to see the shoes. And but come here. By the way, this girl used to be how heavy?
288.
She used to be 288 pounds. She is no longer. You lost 135 pounds? Oh, 161 pounds. This is what happens when you hit a reset button and you realize that morbidly obese is not healthy for your two children. And your two children are your reason to lose 161 pounds. And have now kept it off for how long? 3.5 years that she has kept it off. And leading other women to do the same thing. But those freaking shoes are giving me a hot flash right now. Wow. So are those legs. cheese in her butt. I mean, it's just, I'm just like, Carmen, she looks so, I knew this girl for many, many, many years at 200 and what?
88 pounds.
88 pounds. And she's tiny. She's short. See those heels? She's wearing 4 inches. Okay, so she's super short. You're 5'4". Well, I guess not that short, but it's short. Anyway, so she's 5'4 and 208, over 280 pounds. For how many years did I know you at that size? Almost 10. Yeah, almost 10 years. And finally it hit her. My children are worth it. I don't want my kids to struggle the way I struggle. I'm going to change the way I live. So this girl is like a buff, hard-bodied, boo, with those shoes. Those shoes. Oh, my gosh. Jeez. There are these. Sorry. These are amazing. I need them. Now listen, Carmen and I. No. Your foot is too small for me. And those don't have a platform inside them, so that much of a heel would, like, it's not funny. Really? Go sit down. Don't tell me they're comfortable. I was hoping you're going to sell me that they're painful, because that's my out. They're comfortable. Whatever. So therefore, that when the 2%er becomes financially independent, those things become more accessible for my orchard, not for my income. Makes sense? From the orchard, not from the income. No, I'm not going to trade her. She's seen these boots for the last 12 years. Trade mine? No, honey, these are 13 years old. They were $50. They are thrashed. Yes, no, she doesn't wear my size. So she's one size smaller than I am, which is working out in my favor right now, because I probably would pin her butt down and take those shoes off and put them on my feet. Okay, those are awesome. Okay, we were talking about money, and we were then talking about Nicaragua. I'll let you know at the end of the day, because we have somebody that's working on a way for us to communicate about Nicaragua. And then I also wanted to let you know that Israel 2019 is next March. So March 2019, it'll be towards the end of March, mid to end of March is when we're doing the next Israel trip. And it's going to be better than the last one. It is. And I know we cannot imagine how it could ever be better, but the second trip was better than the first one. And the third one is definitely going to be better than the last one. So if you've ever had a dream to go to Israel, and if you've ever had a dream to really connect with your biblical roots and just spiritual, like people who don't believe in the Bible go to Israel because it's one of the seven wonders of the world, apparently, and it is a fascinating, phenomenal place. And don't let the media and all their BS try to dissuade you from going. So many people don't go because, oh, but what about bombs? Like, those of us were there. Was it not so safe and so peaceful and so amazing? Not a single person was like, I'm afraid to be here. No, none of that. I've been there 5 times. It is so safe, so peaceful. You feel safer there than you do here. Yes. By far. So, yeah. Anyway, it's amazing, amazing, phenomenal place. If you've ever had a dream to go, you have plenty of time to save the money to get there. It's about setting aside part of a fund budget, travel budget, education budget. Wait a second. If you somehow do a few videos from there, now it's your business write-off. Get rid, yeah, just on your fat alone. Yeah, just on your fat alone, you could end up going to Israel easily, just from the fat from your budget. So you have plenty of time to plan now. And then same with Nicaragua. Wow, we will be building houses there. We'll be teaching the Nicaraguans how to speak English. Some of the people that are coming that have some business skills are going to be maybe holding a couple of classes with some of the people down there to help take some of the talent that's in this room and impart it into the extreme poor to help them start businesses and grow their lives and sustain themselves. So this particular village is called Jiquilillo. It's on the coast. It's on the northern coast of Nicaragua. Really beautiful. It's one of the hottest parts of the whole state or country of Nicaragua. It's in Chinandega. And a beautiful, beautiful place. It's a whole new village that we've built there. These people's plastic homes would get washed away every full moon because 2 and 3 feet of water would come in and just sweep them all away. And so now they have houses. They're in a neighborhood. They've got chickens that we've given them, as well as education, a community center, to where we can be doing more and more education for them and helping them to get even more sustained. So that's going to be a trip that we'll be taking in July, end of July. So we want to extend the invitation out to you to do that. It's the most profound thing that you and your family could be a part of. It's absolutely life-altering. What happens to you there cannot happen in this room. It just can't. It cannot happen to you in this room. And the same is like Saturday night. I mean, last night, how many of you were here for the spiritual equipping? Did you get blessed last night? You learned some stuff, gained some good leadership stuff, problem solved, things like that. That is all wonderful, grand, and dandy, but it is nothing like experiencing a spiritual journey in Israel. Nothing. Nothing. It makes what we do on a Friday night look like a freckle on someone's butt. Seriously, there's absolutely no comparison. There's absolutely no comparison at all. All right, so say what? Yeah, it's spiritual equipping on steroids for 10 solid days. Well, 11 days this trip. This next trip will be 11 days. Yeah, we're doing one more day. Yep, bonus day. Anyway, yeah, there's more places we got to see and things we got to do, and there's a certain time that we got to do it. Anyway, super excited. Okay, so what we're going to do now, now that we laid the foundation yesterday from those priorities, and can we go through those priorities again? What is your life? What's number one? Which includes what? Spirit, emotional, mental, physical, and financial, right? Number two? Number three? Number four? Family, it's your extended family. Number five? Yeah, provision. And is it just provision of money? No. What else is it provision for? Say what? It's an opportunity to train up your children in the work category. It's an opportunity to impart your wisdom and your skill set into your children, because you're not going to have another time to do that. Do you understand? When are you going to do it? You think that when they turn 18, they're going to be like asking you for job advice? Probably not. Someone's laughing hard. Right? I mean, do you actually think that when they turn 18, they become adults, that they're going to seek you to train them on all of the skills that you've had to learn and develop through the years? No. You put them in front of some professor who doesn't share your values instead. This is going to fill their head with knowledge and not teach them how to apply it or use it. Right? So anyway, so it's important to use your work as a platform to install into the next generation the value of work, how to work, the attitude concerning work, developing them in different skills. I have to tell you, can I just tell you how much I love my husband? And I only have a day and a half before I see him. 2 days before I see him. We at the last Shabbat at our house, we had all our grandkids, well, some of our grandkids over. And my second to third youngest grandson is named Harvey. And he looks exactly like my son, Roman. It's the weird, genetics are strange. But he does. Like, you can look at two pictures of Roman and Harvey, and it looks like the same kid. Just like you can look at pictures of my brother and Roman, and they look like the same person as well. So just Gen X are awesome. Anyway, so my little grandson, Harvey, he just turned 6, and he apparently is like the mathematician in his kindergarten class, right? And so his teacher's completely blown away. They have him doing second grade math right now. He just spits math out in his head like it's nothing, right? So I tell Pops, Hans, this. We're at the dinner table. I'm like, hey, honey, Pops, Harvey apparently is like, you know, he's the first one to get his math done. He just spits it out like it's nothing. They're giving him second grade math, and he's burning through that. He probably is like third grade level math right now because the second grade math is not a challenge to him. And he was 5 years old, right? He just turned 6. So anyway, so Pops goes, okay, awesome job, man. Okay, Harvey, listen, what is 2 plus minus 3? And I elbow Hans. I'm like, dude, that is not second grade math. He goes, dude, don't limit him. So Harvey goes, 5. He goes, no, think about it, Harvey. Think about it. 2 plus minus 3. So he's working it through, and then now he's guessing. So I cheat. So anyway, so Hans keeps working him through those kinds of problems, and guess what? He gets it. He got it. So who was I to say, well, that's 7th grade, and that's the stuff that confused the snot out of me. 2 plus negative 3, like, how do you plus negative? Right? I mean, I was constipated instantly when I heard those kind of math problems. Did that happen to anyone else? I know I'm not the only person that constipated. Okay, thank God. All right. So work, the reason why I'm talking about that is that we adults often limit our children's ability because our society says they're not ready for that kind of math. Do you understand? So we limit them. We limit them in their understanding spiritually. We limit them in their understanding work-wise. But you'd be amazed. You have children that'll make better entrepreneurs than you. And why? Because they understand simple concepts and you complicate them. Where they don't complicate simple concepts. You complicate the simple concepts. They go, oh, you want me to do that? Done. I'll go do it. Like, go knock on doors and see who wants their dog walked. Done. Do you want your dog walked? But you tell an adult to do that, and what do they do? Oh, what do I say? What if they say no? I'm so embarrassed. What are they going to think? Every kid is a 2 percenter. You're the one that screws them up. Every kid is a 2 percenter. You're the one that screws them up. You're the one that limits them with your own limited beliefs. You're the one that creates the crooked path in front of them. You're the one that has them think of things they don't need to be thinking about. Kids take action. The parents bring their past failures and hurts into the equation and try to shield their kids from success. So work is provision, not just for today, but it's also training provision into the next generation. Number 6. Huh? Fun and adventure. This is a very important thing for your children to see you do. It is a very important thing for your children to see you do, is to be adventurous and to have fun. Why? Most of your kids don't want to grow up, and the reason why they're still playing video games at 25 is because they don't want to grow up and be like you. They don't want to carry the weight on their face like you do. They don't want to get married because they don't want your marriage. They don't want to get a job because they don't want your life. So, fun and adventure. You see, we've made our whole lives about work. It's not about work. So when you have a complete life, fun adventure is part of the completion of that life. And so if you're not doing this, you're not living. And if you're waiting to do this until you're financially independent, you're going to die and not have fun. And why? Because the only reason why you're not financially independent isn't because you don't make enough money. The reason, did you hear what I said? The only reason you're not financially independent has nothing to do with your money. It's what you've done with your money. It's where you've put the money. These millennials will be wealthier faster than the ones that are older than them. They will, if they follow directions. They have the capacity to follow directions. They have the capacity not to complicate things. Their biggest distraction is you. Their biggest distraction is you. Your attitude about work, your attitude about marriage, your attitude about parenting, your attitude about politics, your attitude about God, your attitude about your health, your attitude about your future, your attitude about fun. Those are the things that is stopping your kids from being successful. So you might want to step up quick and get into that 2% mindset for the sake of the next generation. I'm almost tempted to put the 2%, I mean the millennials on the spot. I know what they'll do. They're going to go, I agree. How many of you millennials totally agree with what everything I just said? There you go. There you go. They do. So what happened? Mom and dad got off track. They made things too serious. They lost the 2% that was already born into them. That's what happened. And guess what? What does that show you, millennials? The same will happen to you if you don't watch yourself. The same will happen to you if you don't watch yourself. Your parents said, I don't want to be like my parents, and then they became them. It's true. They were just like you where they said, I don't want to do what my parents did, and then they became it. They did. Why? They lost their way. They lost their way. They didn't have some wench on a stage screaming at them about getting their life on track. Some of them didn't pay attention to. Number seven, there are several of my friends that have been coming for years and being like, yeah, that's great. Some of them are just now starting to pay attention. Okay, number seven. Charity. How many of you millennials know that must be a part of your life? Right? What are you laughing at? I'm not a millennial. Oh, she is an old woman who raised her hand. No, I'm kidding. Okay, that's something that the millennials know. They know that their life cannot just be about themselves. They do not like that they were sacrificed for a bigger house, for nicer cars, and shopping at the malls. They do not like that. They've looked at the money and gone, what is this all about? What is it all for? No freaking thank you. I don't want that life. I don't want the pressure. I don't want the stuff. They're stressed out managing their crap. They've got storage units filled with crap. They're wasting food every single day. No thank you. Everyone's in their own bedrooms on their devices. There's no relationship here. I want nothing to do with money. Millennials, do you agree? Where are some millennials that agree with this? Okay, there you go. So charity, why? We were wired for charity. It's part of our mandate to take care of other people who cannot take care of themselves. That's our job. Number eight, legacy. And the millennials are big on this right here. They're big on changing the world. Really big on changing the world. And they'll go do it without you. They will. They'll actually do it in a vengeance. They will. They will. They're similar to the 60s generation. Very similar to the 60s. Now, hopefully they don't just go naked and do a lot of drugs and have sex with everybody. Because that's what our parents did. Right? Our parents were those people. So then we got really serious about our lives. We wanted to make sure and have some structure and a foundation, and we wanted to succeed. Right? We are the response to that 60 generation. The millennials, again, my generation swung too far, got too serious, too driven, chased money, chased opportunity, chased fame, chased fortune. And our kids are like, have fun. No thanks. So fortunately, my kids have not done any of that, praise God. Why? Because did we not do this, Micah? Did we not work hard to make these things a part of our life? Yes. This is how we've lived. Mom has to work the hardest on that one. But fortunately, I have a husband who's wild. So he helps in this department. He is Mr. Spontaneous, and Danny is not at all. So this is a challenge for Mom. And I just breathe a lot. Okay. Okay, let's go. Okay, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Okay, so we're going to keep this in mind as we work through increasing your value. Okay, we're going to increase value today. This is our job today. Never losing focus of these eight things. Okay, these eight things are very important to keep in the right prioritized order. This is the order. When you have work at the top priority, everything else crumbles. It's like taking a pyramid and putting it upside down. What's going to happen if you have a pyramid upside down? It's going to tip or it's going to crumble, right? So your foundation needs to be strong, starting with this spiritual, emotional, mental, physical. I almost don't want to put financial in there. Because some of you will make that your higher priority. But health, and when I say healthy financially, that means contentment financially. That means wise with the little financially. Do you understand? So we're going to take these concepts that you learned yesterday, all the character, the arrogance versus humility. We're going to take the financial of prosper where you're planted and faithful with the little, right? So ordering too much food and throwing part of it away is foolish or wise? Foolish, okay? Living in a house that's much bigger than you need is foolish or wise? Foolish. Driving an expensive car and financing it is? Foolish, okay? Wearing expensive clothes that you do not need is? Foolish, okay? Buying another pair of shoes when you already have too many is? Foolish. Not investing in yourself is? Foolish. Not learning new skills is?
Foolish.
Learning new skills is?
Wise.
Do you understand? So, how do we take what we learned yesterday and apply it to our work life? We're going to predominantly focus on marriage, parenting, family, and work right now, okay? And let me show you how to increase your value in those areas. Okay, number one, really important, is that how many of you work a job or a business? All right. How many of you are home full-time and do not have a business or a job? Okay, awesome. Quite a few of you, like 50 of you. Okay, so for those of you that are full-time parents, your home is your business. It is your, did you hear me? It's your company. Don't even treat it like a job, unless, of course, having a company scares the snot out of you. For those of you that it scares the snot out of you, like it did me 30 years ago, what I did is I pretended like I had been hired by a strategic company. I didn't look at my business as it was mine because that was too scary for me, but I looked at it as though I had been hired by a company and I had a really good position in the company. Rather than being at the entry level, I was at the higher level, and therefore I needed to step into my role, needed to step into my office, and I needed to own it, and I was performing for a boss. That's how I treated it, because I was terrified to be in business for myself. I had all those stupid fears and those beliefs about myself that I couldn't make it, but that I had a nice job. The job I always wanted actually was in human resources. I had been denied so many jobs. I was not good enough to get hired by Macy's. I wasn't even good enough, you know, like to work in the clothing store, Macy's. I wasn't even good enough to work at Gottschalk's. Now, how many of you have never heard of Gottschalk's? Wow. Okay, so let me tell you what Gottschalk's is. Gottschalk's is a little nicer than Target, only in small little towns. Okay, it's their almost kind of version wannabe like Macy's, but it's not Macy's. It might be just one skosh nicer than JCPenney's. I was not qualified to work at Gottschalk's. So when I was 19 and I'm looking for jobs and I'm hoping to get on at Gottschalk's and I'm putting my best clothes on and my bright pink lipstick with my unibrow and I'm showing up, right? And I was like, denied. I was denied at Macy's. I was denied at Gottschalk's. I was not good enough to work anywhere that had any kind of class, but JCPenney's took me on. So when I started in my business, I pretended like I was working at Macy's. And I pretended I was in human resources because I wanted a stamp that said denied or accepted. Because people across the desk determined whether or not I made money, right? And so I'm like, fine, I wasn't good enough to work for you? Awesome. I can't wait for me to interview you. Denied. Wasn't the greatest attitude, but it really helped me build a business. It really did. It caused me not to beg people to buy my product. It caused me to not beg people to join my sales force. That's what it did. So I had an attitude of, this is my job, is to pick and choose who I'm going to work with, and I'm looking for talent, okay? So we're talking about increasing your value. Here's a few things that you want to understand to increase your value. Number one, money doesn't come from trees. Really? But if this is your first time here, I want you to answer this question. Where does money come from? Someone says hard work. Okay. Where does it come from? She says it comes from God, but who does he give it to? People. Money comes from people. Okay. Money comes, let's say, through people. Okay. So if money comes from people, and you are a poor communicator with other people, what happens with your money? You do not make as much, because why? Because you can't communicate with people properly. And that's communication on social media. That's communication at your job. That is communication in multiple different ways. Let's talk about this. How do we communicate? Okay, we communicate verbally and non-verbally. In fact, 93% of all communication is non-verbal. Non-verbal. Now, there's lots of different ways that we communicate, okay? Especially from the non-verbal portion. But there's other ways that we communicate at work. What are different forms of communication we do at work? And I want to ask the new people to engage with me. Okay, how do you communicate at work? Yes, okay, that's one. What else? Face-to-face conversations, yes. Keep going. Body language. Tonality. The kind of energy you put out. The actions you take. Again, I want the newbies. Say again. Eye contact. Say again. What does that mean? Jargon, your technical language. So the terminology that you use. Okay, what else? Say again. Posture, yes. Thank you. Ding, 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 ding. Diligence. Diligent hands produce wealth. Diligent hands produce wealth. Say again. Results. Ding, 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 ding. He who is diligent will be wealthy. You know if you're diligent based on your results. The only thing in the marketplace that determines your success is your results. And only 2% goes for results. 98%ers have been conditioned to work for hours. 2% of the population works for results. They produce the results. There's two different economies in the marketplace. One is a results economy. The other is a hourly economy. So how many of you are employed full-time by someone else? Okay, look around the room. It's a lot of people employed by somebody else. I'm going to tell you something is very important. There's been a message that has been out for about 30 years that says, you're never going to get rich in a job. Another message that says you should try to fire your boss one day, be your own boss. And I'm going to tell you that that is propaganda. And I'm going to tell you why. Number one, most business owners are not rich either. And all they've done is hired themselves a job with a whole lot more responsibility. And I mean a whole lot more responsibility, a whole lot more liability, and a massive increase of stress and pressure. Okay? So they've not just hired themselves a job, they've hired themselves maybe 2 and 3 jobs. Number two, most people who own a business don't get rich. And it has nothing to do with how much money they make. Getting rich has nothing to do with how much money you make. I'm going to say it again. Getting rich has nothing to do with how much money you make. But there is an industry that has sold you the way to riches is by how much you make. And I'm here to tell you it's not true. How do I know? I've lived it. I've also studied other successful people. It's not by how much you make. It's by what? How much you keep and how much you invest. It's creating the orchard, which you are going to learn in 4 weeks from this weekend in Orlando, Florida. Okay? 4 weeks from this weekend in Orlando, Florida, you have the opportunity to learn the beginning steps of creating wealth beyond the foundation that I'm giving you right here. So this is a switch in your brain. Do you understand? You've been told your whole life, the more money you make, then that's going to make you wealthy. I'm here to tell you no. I'm here to tell you that your income is only cash flow. That's it. And what you're supposed to do with your income is you're supposed to split that up, part of it towards charity. Because again, last night, how many of us learned about this about ourselves, that we're often in the season of getting, wanting to get, wanting to receive. But those are the people who are always in need. Did you hear what I said? The ones who are always looking to get are the ones who are always in need. The ones who are the givers are the ones who receive plenty. Okay, so you have to switch which position that you've been in. And how many of you have been in the get, more department for far too long. Okay, far too long. It's just a switch in your brain. You're going to have to retrain your brain to be a giver, right? So the first thing is charity. It's one of the ways to kill greed in you is charity. And go deep into it. Go real deep into it. Don't just write a check like you're paying a bill. You're not going to last very long doing that. Get on the ground in Nicaragua. Get on the ground in your city feeding the homeless. Get on the ground in the women's shelters in your city. Do you understand? And then I want you to tell me you're doing it. I want you to tell me you're doing it. And if you find an organization that's worthy that needs more money, call me. I'd love to write a check. Anyway, so charity being number one. Number two, that other 10% towards what? Investments, right? So this is that other 10% that you're going to start using as seed for what? To make investments. That's money you might lose and it's money you might multiply. Okay? You're not going to, every investment you make is not going to turn out. Did you write that down? I know you don't want to hear that, but don't be stupid. Every investment you make is not going to turn out. Your job is to find out which ones will turn out. How will you know which ones turn out? Thank you. Based on the results. That's the only way you know is based on the results. Okay, and how and why? Listen to me. I got this revelation. It was really powerful. A few days ago when I was reading through some of your questions. And some of the questions are, Danny, can you tell me how to do this? Or Danny, I'm starting a business in this. What do you think? And I realized, wow, you want me to tell you what to do. So you have someone to blame when it doesn't work. That's why we always look to get advice from all the wrong people and some of the right people. And what do? But she said, so you put all your hope in my word. You put your hope in my word. my flippant answer, my pissant opinion, and you try to build a life on it. I'm not your God. I'm not your God. I will never be your God. I will fail you if you make me your God. I promise you. You make me your friend, I will be like the rest of your friends. Fail you. Fail you. But I am not your God. You have a God. It ain't me. And you should say, thank God she's not my God. Because I promise you, I'm a lot harsher than your God. I am. I'm a lot harsher. I am not polished. I am not perfect. And I don't love all the time unconditionally. Nope. I do not have the patience of God. I'm working towards it, but I'm not there yet. Sometimes I will tell you, I just want to smack the crap out of you. I'm serious. Sometimes I just want to take a bat and just go, really? How many times are we going to talk about this? Okay. All right. So the point is that quit looking for an answer so that you have someone to blame when it doesn't work. You have to take personal responsibility for your learning. No one else can take responsibility for your learning. You're going to learn through trial and error, and you're going to pay to learn from other people's trial and error. Bottom line. So set aside an account for learning. You might even, let me tell you this, some of you are motivated by charity. You can't build a business for yourself to save your life. You find no purpose in the job that you're doing. If you set aside a certain portion of your job or certain portion for your business for charity, for those of you who are motivated that, like me, I know what motivates me. Not making money doesn't motivate me, but taking care of the poor is the only thing that gets me out of bed in the morning. That's the only thing that gets me out of bed. Is the cry of the poor, those children with filthy hair and lice, those people in so much pain and so much suffering, the stench, the flies that are everywhere, no shelter, no food, digging out of a trash, trying to feed their family. This, like, I hear their cry. I see their faces. I have no right to sleep in till 11. I have no right to sit on a beach sucking on a Mai Tai. I have no right to just go spend 25 grand a month shopping for more new clothes that don't satisfy me. I have no freaking right to take the talent and skill that I've developed all these years that my God has given me the chance to develop and use it for nothing but myself. I have no right to live like that. This is a gift. The gift is not for me, the gift is for them. Bottom line. So I know what motivates me. So for me, that's why 100% of the profits goes to the poor. That's why I don't take the salary. Do you understand? Because that's what motivates me. So this whole business is set up to give. That's it. This business right here, DannyJohnson.com, was started to give. To give into you, your family's training and development that I teach my children, that I could just be teaching my children. I don't have to come and teach you anything. And for some of you, I shouldn't. Some of you are jerks. Judgmental, self-righteous, egotistical, arrogant. Psh, why do I want to spend a weekend with you? Because there's some nice people around you. Anyway, but seriously, come on. Where's Rockefeller? Is he holding seminars teaching you what he's taught his children? No. Come on, think about it. Think how many people that are wealthy out there that are not spending a weekend with your butt. And rightfully so, correct? Rightfully so. They shouldn't be. They don't need to be. They got better things to do with their time, right? But this is a win-win. You need the help and the poor needs the money, huh? It's a good match. It's a good match. Okay? You need the direction. They need the money. I'm the prostitute. That's pretty much what it is. Still working in that way. She's got clothes on this time, sort of. Anyway, a lot older. Okay, anyway, so the point is that for some of you, you're motivated like that, and you have a hard time making money for yourself, or you feel guilty making money for yourself. Well, then don't. Use your talent and your skill for something else. You could even use it for maybe a legacy fund for the kids, right? This thing that I'm doing on the side is for my education. Or this thing on the side is for the kids' education. Or this thing on the side, do you understand? So you have purpose and direction for this side thing that you might be doing, all right? Okay, so we were talking about this other thing a minute ago, besides prostitution. And it was money and the job Okay, hold on. So 10% for charity, 10% for investing. Okay? And then if you're in debt, the other 10% towards your debt, I say you find more than 10%. You're going to find fat in your budget. Go home and find $1,000 a month in fat. Don't just find 500. Be an investigator and find all that fat. Divide that up by what? Yes, some of it can be for savings, and that's your savings to Israel, your savings to go to Nicaragua. Do you understand? That's your savings to get a car if you actually need another one, which probably chances are you necessarily don't. Everyone else has one, so you think you should, right? Test your brain on that. All right, so let's get to this work thing and increasing your value. That's where we were. So on the increasing value thing, all right, I still want the new people to engage with me. Diligent hands produce wealth. Okay, how do you communicate at work? New people? Huh? Yeah, we already said a smile. That does that increase or decrease your value? Increases your value, right? Why? Because you're working with who? People. You're increase you whatever it is, if you work with people. People are who pay you for you to be there. People pay you to be there. You are representing the brand of a business. So for those of you that work full-time for someone else, those of you that your full-time business or job is in the home, all of this applies to you. Because if you do not increase your value in the home, you are what to yourself? Devaluing yourself. Okay, so increasing your value is a learned skill. It is not a natural thing. The natural tendency for us is to get lazier and lazier as the years go by. That's the natural tendency of 98% of the population. How many of you have noticed this about yourself? Okay, and the lazier you get, how do you feel? You feel worse, you feel crappy, you feel lazy, right? You have less energy. Right? Which is why I started working out 2 years ago, is because I noticed I was getting more and more tired all the time. I was needing more and more sleep all the time. My head was less and less clear all the time. So I'm like, this sucks. I know what path I'm on. I'm on the path to one big fat dimple from my neck to my freaking ankles and sleeping all the time. Like, I got too many dimples already. Please, I don't want to add any more. Anyway, so that's why I started working out. And I noticed that when I started doing physical activity, I had more energy. I was more motivated. And I was instantly starting to think clear. So that was a shock again from a fitness atheist advocate. Okay, I was an advocate against fitness. And I did not believe in it. It is not the case anymore. I believe in it big time now. In fact, I do email from my bike. I do email. I did prospecting a closing class from my bike. People were calling. I was really low, super low, so I didn't think I was breathing heavy. I was just like super low, because why? I'm going to sit on my butt and do this, right? And I think more clear when I'm on this thing. So, and I do my coaching appointments from the bike. And so I was doing the coaching, the prospecting and closing class for the bike, and several people calling, like, is Danny okay? Is she all right? I mean, she sounds a little funny. I'm like, oh, I should have told you guys, I'm on my bike. It's better for you, I promise. So as soon as I started digging in on a client, I'm like, because that's my passion's going, and I'm pedaling faster. So I guess I was breathing a little heavy on the phone. It was terrible. Thanks, Mona, for your encouragement. I appreciate that. Laughing at me. Anyway, so awesome. Say what? You were in that class? Yeah, I was pedaling just to keep my body moving, because it's oxygen to the brain, right? It's oxygen to the brain, and you need me to have oxygen in my brain while I'm trying to solve your crappy prospecting skills. You need me to do this, I promise you. So I don't just, anyway, go, okay. Okay, anyway, so communication, okay? Because nonverbal communication determines your value in the marketplace. Your marketplace is in the home, and it's also at work. So some of you, who here works outside of the home? Keep your hands up. And how many of you work inside the home? Keep your freaking hands up. You all have a home. What, do you live in a cave? So what I'm telling you is that you are not immune to what I'm saying when I'm talking to the full-time home people. You have home too. What's your first string? Home. First string is home. So everything I'm talking about first must be applied where? Home. Has to be applied at home first. Why? Otherwise, you're a manipulator. Because if you treat your staff better than you treat your family, you're a manipulator. You're nothing but a freaking poser. If you treat the people on Sunday or Saturday, wherever it is that you go to church, you treat those people better with more kindness, with more respect. Praise the Lord. You're nothing but a poser. You're nothing but a faker. You're nothing but a manipulator. So the first place that we're supposed to have the most honor, the most respect, the most patience, the first place that we're supposed to be smiling, the place we're supposed to be encouraging is where? Home. You do it at home, it will come natural at work. And now you are a person of integrity. Did you hear me? Now you're a person of faithfulness. You can't be more merciful to your staff than you are to your family. You can't be more understanding to your staff than you are to your family. You can't be more diligent at work than you are with making your frickin' bed. Hallelujah. Do you understand? If your house is a disaster, it's a reflection of your work life. Diligent hands produce wealth. And the diligence starts in the home. You cannot use leadership skills better in your office or at work than you do at home. You're a poser, a liar, a manipulator, if that's what you do. That is a hypocrite. Do you hear me? That's a hypocrite. No hypocrites allowed. And why is it more important for the home? Who's in your home? That first team and the next generation of leaders of your nation are in your home. The next generation of your legacy is in your home, and they are watching you. They are watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you. So if you're not smiling, what are you communicating to the home, business partners, future legacy builders, your employees, your children in your home? You're not smiling. What is that communicating? Well, let's just talk about it. Can you tell me what a non-smile, just straight, no smile communicates? In fact, first row, stand up, turn around, face the people behind you. Smile. Everybody in the room, smile. Come on, show your grill. Everybody, show the grill. I want to see the grill. Even if you don't have some, come on, even if you're missing teeth. Even if you're missing teeth, I want to see the grill. Come on, everybody. Okay? All right, smiling. Okay, ready? Frown. Let's just do this. Put the airport face on. Give me the annoyed airport face. Give me the I'm on the phone with a customer service rep that just told me no 3 times. That's good, Danielle. That's so good. Everybody, come on. Give it to me. Tap your finger, it helps. What does this communicate? Negative, what else? Unhappy, disapproval, annoyed, not important, apathy, irritated, judgment. Intimidation, which is, by the way, a spirit, an evil spirit. You don't care. I don't care. What else? Disappointment. Say again. Constipation, for sure. Hi, brother. So good to see you. So listen up. Judgment, this is what you're communicating to the next generation. This is what you're communicating in your job. And some of you are not even self-aware. This is how you walk into work. This is how you come into the house when you come home. This is how you wake up in the morning. When your spouse looks over at you, they see that. If you are not continuously increasing your value, what is happening to your value? It is decreasing. Every day, your value is decreasing. Increasing your value is your job. Your heart and your attitude and your work is your job. And if you are not just smiling, anybody can do that. Does not take a rocket scientist to figure out. If you're not smiling, you're sucking the oxygen right out of the room. And you literally are planting fear, intimidation, hopelessness, despair, planting depression, causing people to question whether or not they have any value. Literally, a non-smile causes somebody, especially somebody with wounds from their past where they were abandoned or they were rejected. They've got wounds, and when they see someone that is not smiling right away, in fact, you just tell me, what do you think when someone will not smile at you? They don't, she just said it, they don't like me. This one over here says they're better than me, or they think they're better than me. So either you're going to be judged, hey Ken, they're going to be, I was thinking about you last night. We were in Israel together, we had lots of meals together. He roomed with my son. Anyway, hi Ken. Ken means yes in Hebrew. What a great name. Yes. Hi, yes. It's good to meet you, yes. Anyway, a smile says no. I mean, a frown says no. Sorry. A frown says no. A frown says not interested. A frown says you're not good enough. You're sucking up my oxygen. I wish you weren't here. And you do this to your spouse. You do this to your spouse when you're texting them. You do this to your spouse when you wake up in the morning. You do this to your spouse when they walk in the door. You do this to your spouse. You do this to your kids. And who's in charge of your smile? Who's in charge of your smile? BS. BS. Uh-uh. I'll tell you who you think is in charge of your smile. You think everybody else is in charge of your smile. You think your circumstances are in charge of your smile. You think the new blouse is in charge of your smile. You think your new purse is in charge of your smile. You think getting a raise is in charge of your smile. You think making more money is in charge of your smile. You think Disneyland is in charge of your smile. All of that is a bunch of bunk. And that's how 98% thinks. 98% expects their circumstances to provoke a smile in them. 98% wants to be manipulated to smile. Yeah. 2% puts it on. It's called game face, man. It's a strategy. It gives life. Come on, smile. Look at everybody smiling. Come on, smile. Now, I want you to tell me what this communicates. Love. She says love. Come on, what does this communicate? Respect. Did you hear what she just said? This communicates respect. Ladies, let me tell you what a man wants more than anything, even more than sex. Respect. He was wired to be respected. And a frown or a non-smile is total disrespect to him. When his wife doesn't smile, it says, I'm a failure. When his wife isn't smiling, it says, I'm a failure. It says, I'm failing. I suck as a husband. I can't figure this out. I'm not good enough. It must be because I don't make enough money. It must be that I'm not good looking to her anymore. It must be because I did something wrong. Instantly, he thinks he's in trouble. What a prison us women have created in a home. What a freaking prison. He also knows he ain't getting laid. So right there, it's like, I might as well just go play some video games. Or I might get on the internet and look at some porn. Because at least she's smiling at me. Men, you can say amen. You can slip a couple bucks in my pocket. I'll give it to the poor later. Because I'm currently your pole dancer. Seriously, just a smile. Just a smile. Just a smile. Just a smile. Guess what it says to your kids when you smile at your kids? Come on. What? Smile. Smile. Come on. I value you. Wow. What would happen to your husband if he felt like you valued him? I will tell you right now, he will make more money than you could ever imagine in your life. He would take risks. He would succeed. He would be innovative. He'd be everything that you married him to be. You stopped smiling. You created the prison. Tear down the prison. Go home and smile big and give him a nice roll in the hay. And by the way, that's biblical. Very biblical. It's actually exercise in the Bible. Okay, so smiling. He is your gym. Okay, so, but I don't feel like it. Shut up and smile, wench. You control the house. Okay, increase your value by smiling. Increase your value by giving encouragement. Both of you, everybody in the household, teach your children to smile. The reason why you feel so crappy is simply because you haven't shown your teeth. I'm not kidding you. They have proven that a smile releases endorphins in your brain. The same exact thing that happens when you work out. The same high that people get when they work out is the same high that you get from smiling. You actually burn more calories from smiling than frowning. No joke. This is all scientifically proven. You'll have more sex. You'll lose weight. You'll get a raise. Your spouse will get a raise. Why? Because everybody wants happiness. And you know what? Money compared to happiness, give me the happiness instead of the money. Give me the happiness instead of the money. And happiness is a free choice. So when people get happy, they make more money. Did you hear me? When people get happy, they make more money. What comes first? Happiness. And happiness is a choice. So here's one key to your happiness. Show your grill. I didn't see it, dude. I know it's in there. Okay, there it is. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You think I'm talking to your wife? I'm talking to you. No, I'm talking to you. 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 No, you. Okay? All right. So, we're back to work. We're talking about increasing value. And by the way, when I say work, that is for you business owners. That's your work. Employees, some of you have a business and you work full-time for someone else. Who here does that? You have a business and you work full-time. Okay, guess what? Your first responsibility to practice all of these skills is where? At home. Your second responsibility is where? Your full-time job, not just your part-time business. Your full-time job. Your full-time job is the higher priority over the business. Why? That person's paying for your bills. Paying your mortgage for you. Do you hear me? That person is helping to put food on the table. Not your part-time business yet. And if you mistreat the people you work with in your day job, and then all of a sudden become the highly motivated and encouraging person at night to try to recruit people, that makes you a manipulator. That makes you a hypocrite. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. So you will recruit a bunch of posers who are not committed. She just went, oh my gosh, that's all I have in my Salesforce. Ding, ding, ding. You recruit who you are. You blamed your emerald husband. Yeah, nope. You're in charge. No, he married you because of your smile and your joy. No way. He was like telling you exactly how to succeed. Yeah. You're welcome. That was worth everything, wasn't it? Yeah, that's worth everything. So listen, if you want to recruit great employees or a great sales force, then you have to stop being a poser yourself. And you need to start honoring your boss, honoring the employees you're working with, stepping into ownership of that position versus I can't wait to get out of here. You gotta dominate the job market. You gotta dominate the job market by rising up as a 2%er in that place and doing what everybody else won't do, like turning in their assignments on time, meeting the deadlines. By the way, that is all communication. When you meet the deadline or you get it done before the deadline, what does that communicate? That communicates diligence and what else? Integrity, what else? Respect. It communicates respect. When you get it done and you get it done right and you turn it in early, that is respect, that is honor, that is integrity, that is you are dependable. All of these things increase your value in the marketplace. 98%ers at work show up late, do not have heart in their job. They skate by on the minimums. They say, I hate Mondays. I hate my job. I hate my boss. I can't wait to get out of here. And they somehow think they deserve a raise. They somehow think they deserve a raise. The same with distributors in the direct sales industry. I hate talking to people. I hate prospecting. I hate following up. And they expect their business to grow. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. You will eat the fruit of the words that you spit from your mouth. So how in the world can you get a raise? Here's another one. Oh, I'm in real estate. The market is bad. I can't find people who have money. I don't know the right kind of client. All those people seem to find the best realtors for their team. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. And you will eat the fruit of what you speak. You will eat the, you are, no, say this, I am eating the fruit of my tongue. My business doesn't grow fast enough. My boss doesn't see what I do. I don't get enough recognition. I don't get enough encouragement. I don't get enough help. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. And you are eating the fruit of it. You are eating the fruit of what you say. This is too hard. How many of you have said these things in your house? How many of you said these things about being married? Said these things about being a parent? Said these things about the job? Said these things about the business if you have one? Come on, who has said these things? Are you eating the fruit of what you've said? Yes, you are. You're eating the fruit of what you've said. So communication. You're either communicating honor and respect, diligence, dependability. And if you're communicating those things, you are increasing your value big time in the marketplace. It is so simple. It blows my mind how few people do it. Completely blows my mind. I see it every day. I have a staff of 30. It blows my mind every day. Every freaking day, it blows my mind. Part of it is that most people are not aware that they're walking around with a frown. Most people are not aware of their own weaknesses. And why? Because we spend our lives building our ego instead of our character. We build our lives building ego instead of character. So the more ego we build, the more blind we are. Write this down. I have many blind spots. I have many blind spots. find them. Find them. Because once you find them, they're no longer blinding you as well anymore. You're not as easily blinded if you find your blind spots. When you don't even know you have them, you just keep going through life, making the same mistakes, creating the same patterns, getting passed up for promotions with a business that is stuck, a marriage that is boring, and a life that is hard. It's all of these things because of blind spots. And I just turned you onto one of your blind spots, smiling. It turned you onto another blind spot. What was another one, huh? Your words. Your words. Your tongue is creating your own reality. That's a blind spot. So have accountability around you. Your wife, your kids, ask them, listen, I have a major blind spot here. I've been screwing this up, and I didn't realize I'm screwing this up. First of all, you forgive me. Second of all, will you help me? Will you help me that when I don't see this, please show it to me so I can stop it and repent immediately, because this sucks. I don't want to continue in this. Okay? So increasing value. What do we have on the list? You guys can sit down. Increasing value. Yeah. So friends, tell me something. Can you see how this directly relates to your income? Okay. It also directly relates to the people you work with, which also, if you're in management or you have a business or you are a homemaker, it also determines the household income. Because this, you have influence. Every single person here, no matter how old they are, has influence. And you are either positively influencing those that are around you, or you are negatively influencing those that are around you. It really is that simple. You're either positively doing it or negatively doing it. So, but Danny, I just don't feel good. Then freaking fix it and put on a freaking smile. Quit using how you feel as an excuse and a compass. Your feelings are not your compass. Truth is your compass. Your feelings often lie. I don't feel like getting out of bed. The truth is, I will. I met a woman who was 90 years old when we were in Israel. The day before all the clients showed up, I was spending the day with widows. And the last widow that I went to visit that we have been helping turned out to be 90 years old. She had a terrible thing happen to her. Her husband died 6 years ago. Her son lives in New York. She lives in Tel Aviv. She's a sculptor. She makes these humongous, beautiful, amazing pieces of art. And she's left all alone in this tiny, dingy apartment that the building that they were in, they moved her to an apartment really, really small. And she had a huge place before that. Now she has all this stuff cramped in a tiny little place, totally disorganized. It's been this way for 5 years. So she looks like a hoarder, basically. So I met her and spent some time with her, and I couldn't believe the wealth of knowledge that was coming out of this amazing woman. And here it is, 98% sitting me right there in the face. Dead or dead broke by the time they're 65. She's lived 25 years past 65. All alone. All alone. No grandchildren, just one son who comes to visit once every 2 years. His mom is 90. So I meet her and I feel compelled to ask her, when was the last time you've been to Galilee? She's like, oh, it's been many, many years. What's your most favorite part of Israel? The desert. I'm like, really? Do you want to come with me to the desert tomorrow? In fact, would you want to join me for 10 days? And the most phenomenal group of people you will ever meet in your life. People coming from all over the world on this trip. From Africa, from the UK, from Australia, from Latvia, from US, from Canada. Do you want to meet a new group of people that would just so be honored to have you on the trip with them? Do you want to come with me? I am a perfect stranger. She knows nothing about me. Doesn't even know that I helped to fund her house getting fixed. She doesn't know. Just this random woman who came with someone else, walked into her house, and spent a couple hours just talking to her, forming her. I'll tell you how to do that in a minute. Just drawing out of her past and letting her talk. And she says, "Really? Well, I would have to pack. I was supposed to go somewhere tonight, and really? Yeah. Well, what time? Well, you'll need to meet me at the airport at 7:30 because that's when everyone is arriving, and then we're getting on a bus and we're going straight out to the desert. And our first day, we're going to be in a Bedouin tent. Would you want to stay in a tent?" She's like, "A tent? In the desert? Yeah. Oh gosh, what time is it? I mean, it's already 4:00. I'd have to find a lot of things in order to go. Really? Yeah, really." She's like, "Okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. She spent all 10 days with us on this trip. This woman walked 5 miles a day with all of us. She climbed through underground tunnels with us. Slept in a tent out in the desert, 90 years old. About 5-6 days into the trip, I found out that she used a cane when she was not in her house. She didn't bring a cane with her. And she told me that the morning that she got up, she looked at her cane. She didn't need to use a cane in her house because there's crap everywhere. So she just holds on to stuff as she walks around. There is just crap everywhere. There's just tiny little places. It's true. Micah was there with me in her house. So she told me, "You know, Danny, her house is skinny hallway. Just skinny hallway. That's all there is. There's just a path. There's just floor to ceiling, just junk everywhere. Floor to ceiling everywhere. So she tells me, Danny, this is Batya is her name. Batya. Bat is daughter. Yah, daughter of God. That's what her name means, Batya. So she was there in 1948. That's Batya. This is actually at the tomb of Avraham. Hold on, I'm trying to read the Hebrew. Oh, she does not look 90. She does not look 90 at all. I couldn't believe how amazing her skin was, how great she looked. But this is Batya. So she tells me she just always holds on so tight. She hugged all the clients and just held on tight to everybody. So she says to me, there she is. She is coming through a tunnel. She's coming through a water tunnel that King Hezekiah built a water tunnel, right? So we just finished going through this skinny, tiny little tunnel. Okay, walking through this tiny little tunnel. She walked all the way through with everybody and then up flights of stairs to come up. And this is her coming up. She had never been in that tunnel. 90 years old going, "Yes, I did it." So she tells me, "Danny, I walk with a cane." I'm like, "You do?" She goes, "In the morning that I was coming to you, I was at the doorway and I looked at my cane. And I said, you are going to stay here. I am going to leave without you." And I said to her, "That is crazy. Do you know you've been walking like 5 miles a day? How do you feel?" She goes, I feel good. She hasn't walked 5 miles a day in years. Okay? She says, with dignity, "I figured if I could, then I should." If I could, then I should. 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 What coulds are you not shoulding? What can-dos are you not doing? What compass is leading you? What compass is leading you? The compass of your feelings of I can't, or the compass of I can, so I should? Yes. Who can't surely walk 5 miles a day? A dead person. Did you hear me? A dead person can't. Who can't build wealth? A dead person. Who can't learn new skills? A dead person. Who can't create a legacy any longer? A dead person. Who can't learn to motivate people and work with people and communicate better with people? A dead person. Who can't pay off their debt? A dead person. So if I can, then I should. If I can, then I should. Who here is alive? Then who can? So what should you do? I should do it. Take that lesson. Exactly. Go to Nicaragua. If I can, then I should. So what are your I cans? Your only limits is your mouth and your head. The only thing that shuts your mouth and your head up is taking action. Do you hear me? The only thing that shuts your mouth up is taking action. That woman that day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is a 90-year-old woman being invited by a stranger from America, albeit a Christian. And she's a Jew. And she's coming on a trip with predominantly believers in Yeshua. This violates everything. If I can, then I should. You're staying here. So what is your cane? What is your cane? What is your crutch? What is your cane? What is your crutch? Is it your personality? Is your cane and your crutch your debt? Is your cane and your crutch, it's not the way I am, it's not who I am? I don't feel like smiling, I'm not motivated, I'm not good at that? What is your crutch? What is your cane? And if a 90-year-old who is standing at the doorway, realizing she only has so many days of I can left, knowing that she only has so many days left, and spending another 10 days in her dingy, dark apartment filled with everything she's collected her entire life in it. She has an opportunity for 10 days to follow a perfect stranger throughout her land. As we went into the desert, she tells the story the first day. I was here, Danny, I was here. My mother, I was 7 years old, and we came from, does anyone remember the country? Not Syria, but Iran. In the 40s, my mother grabbed me and my sister, and we walked from Iran right through here in the desert. At the time, the British owned the area. And so my mother would have us walking really short. We couldn't laugh. We couldn't cry. We couldn't talk because we were sneaking into our country, the land of Israel, as Israelites. I remember hiding, laying flat on the dirt so that we wouldn't be found and could only walk at night. If I can, then I should. How many days do you think you have left? How many days do you think you have left of I can's? Maybe. If you treated every day like you don't, you'd get a whole heck of a lot done. The problem with 98% is that we have too much time, or at least we think we do. We think we have lots of time. You have no idea how much time you have. So you have to get serious. You have to get serious. And you have to do your I cans while you still have time. Go pee. 15 minutes. All right. My boss told me that I have to kick some butt. So I'm going to work on that. Hope you're ready. Because whether you realize or not, you have a target on your butt. And I've been shooting for the red dot. The bullseye. The spankings are going to get worse. No, there's freedom in correction. Check this out. Let me tell you what wisdom says. He who loves correction is wise. He who hates correction is a fool. He who loves correction is wise. He who hates correction is a fool. All right, so let's recap on what we have just gone through, all right? We have just given you several strategies in increasing your value, and how many of you can name five? Give them to me. What's number one? Smile. Is that a powerful, simple, easy way to increase your value? Yes, it is. Are there some people you need to go home to and apologize to? Okay, here's another thing. How many of you think you smile often around everybody? You're wrong. Can I tell you how I know? I see you. I see you. Yep, I see you. I watch. I'm a people watcher. I watch and I study, which, by the way, I have to tell you this. The first millionaire I ever had the chance to work with, that's what he said. That was the instruction, was learn more about people than you do your product or your service, and you'll be unusually successful. I was one person in thousands who listened to that advice, took it, and here I am today. Learn more about people than you do your product or your service, and you'll be unusually successful. You are in the people business, whether you realize it or not. I don't care if you're an engineer. I don't care if you're a rocket scientist. You are in the people business at home. You're in the people business at church. You're in the people business at work. Okay? You're in the people business when you are out and about at the post office, at the grocery store. Does anyone go to the post office anymore? I know I do. I do. At the UPS store, all of us are around people all the time. And there are certain things that people love about other people. And people love smiles. People love smiles. So when you do that, you're increasing your value. What's number two? Words. Speak what? Life. Speak what? Encouragement. Speak what? Edify. Edification. Edification of your coworkers. This is something that hit me years ago, and I wrote about it in Grooming the Next Generation for Success. How many of you want to see your children succeed? Okay. How many of you want a better life for your kids? Then quit being a 98%er and buying them everything you didn't get. Because that is not giving them a better life. That is actually setting them up for addictions. That's setting them up for addictions, and that's setting them up for habits that will keep them in debt for the rest of their lives. So you are literally handing them poverty in a pretty package with a bow. Same with you grandparents. Same with you grandparents. Giving them all the sugar is giving them an addiction. An addiction that they'll spend a lot of money on. And you are the one that passed them the joint. You're the one that passed them the needle. Same with flourishing them with tons of gifts instead of flourishing them with teaching, training, encouragement, edification of their parents. Building respect towards their parents. Telling them how awesome their parents are. How blessed they are to have their mother and their father. Buying them gifts is training them for poverty. And for those of you that use gifts to buy love, check your heart. People do that. People buy things and give gifts to buy love. And it's a fake love. There's no loyalty in that. That's manipulation. That's not love. And it's pressure. Because how in the world can they ever repay you? They can't. They don't have the money to. So let's study people. Here's one more very important thing. Your product is not the product or service that you are selling. So one of my goddaughters is a waitress. She sells what? Food. She sells food and drink. She sells the brand of the restaurant. She represents the brand of the restaurant. She sells service. That's what she sells. She sells service. She sells an experience. Okay, now listen to me carefully. This is really important. Every person in this room is in some sort of sales. Even the stay-at-home parents, you are in sales. You are marketing constantly, messaging to your children and to your spouse. That's your job. Is you are marketing and selling messaging to the next generation and to your spouse. You're doing it all day. You're doing it every day. So positioning in marketing is almost more important than marketing. There is no marketing without positioning and how you frame it. So what will increase somebody's tips at their job who works at a restaurant is the experience that they create for the patrons. What will increase your value is, number one, hello, did you already forget? Smile. Number two, your words. What you say. What kind of an experience you're giving them as they are experiencing you. So, for example, somebody who is huffing and puffing is creating a bad, hurried experience. Somebody that doesn't have eye contact. Let me tell you something. I'm teaching you guys a lot about manipulation this weekend. Refusing to have eye contact is also manipulation. Denying eye contact is manipulation. Who has done this before? Some of you need to put both hands and your feet in the air. Okay? When you deny somebody eye contact on purpose, you're not going to look at them. You're refusing to look at them because you're mad at them. You're not happy with them. You're upset with them. That is manipulation. Whereas when you're not upset with them, you have perfect eye contact. How many of you have done this to your spouse? How many of you have done this to your kids? That's manipulation. Manipulation will always come with many curses. Manipulation will come with many curses. Manipulation is a form of witchcraft. Yep. Manipulation is witchcraft. Manipulation and control is witchcraft, which is also rebellion and insubordination. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. How many of you have reaped on that one? Yep. So what are people looking for? So if we're studying people and money comes from people, how do you increase your value? With people and with communication and people skills. There's a book many of you have heard of. Many of you have read it, but it went right over your head. You read knowledge. You did not gain understanding. You need to go back to this book to get understanding. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. the best communication book that has ever been written. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It was written in the 30s. They make it for kids. There is another one that somebody else reprinted, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People in the Digital Age. You can get it on Audible. Yeah, it's in Audible also. Thanks, Ashley. I know you didn't think I remembered your name. Number four, remember people's names. That was a little girl who came to this event many, 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 many years ago. Many, many, many years ago. Why? She has amazing parents who love and adore her and her little brother. Parents who believe in their children. Parents who know that they were on their first go-around when they were raising kids and they didn't know how to do it like the rest of us don't know how to do it. But have a heart to give their kids the absolute best. And so rather than buying them a bunch of crap, they put them in an environment like this so that their kids can learn the things they wish they had learned when they were growing up. It's amazing people, amazing, diligent, hardworking people who have a pile of crap behind you just like I do, and you have worked through it, man. You guys have trudged. You have worked hard. You have been diligent, and I'm proud of you. And Ashley, one day you will say, I want to be just like my mom and dad. I want to be just like my mom and dad because you have phenomenal parents who adore you and believe in you. Yes, you do. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Many of the concepts I've talked to you about this morning came from that book. Smile. Eye contact. Remember their name. Do not criticize, condemn, or complain. I read that book when I was homeless. It's the first book I ever read. I wept through those first three chapters because the first three chapters showed me why I was homeless. The first three chapters are criticize, condemn, and complain. I was the queen, master, skilled at criticizing, condemning, and complaining. Master. There was nobody better at criticizing, condemning, and complaining than me. And I reaped what I had sown. That's how I ended up homeless. Fully abandoned by all friends, all family members, all co-workers, totally homeless. I did it to myself. And didn't realize it was a blind spot. I was not aware of my critical, condemning, complaining spirit. Read the book, not to read it, but to gain understanding. Dig deep and say, is this me? Have a conversation with your spouse. I just read this chapter on complaining. Do I do that a lot? I think I might be blind to this. Can you tell me, am I a big complainer? Each chapter along the way, have some accountability. Yes, the ones that are closest to you, they'll tell you the truth. And if you don't have balls big enough to hear the truth, you can stay stuck right where you're at. You can stay in your prison. I'm serious. Stop being ruled by your feelings getting hurt. You'll never grow if you're ruled by getting your feelings hurt. Never. Did you hear me? Did you write that one down? It cannot be your compass. My feelings getting hurt cannot be my compass any longer. You'll be stuck in your prison. How many of you, that is your prison? I'll see you in 4 weeks. Bust you right out of that sucker. Bust you right out of that sucker. Yeah, but you go home and practice and be aware every time that getting my feelings hurt is my compass. Nope, I'm not. That's not going to lead me today. That's not going to lead me tomorrow. That's not going to lead me the next day. It's a prison, isn't it? Yep. Okay, so how I busted out of part of my prison of depression and suicide in the beginning when I was starting a business, when I was homeless, is I put 100% focus on other people. I got it off of myself, and I got the focus on others. I'm going to show you how to do that. One is smiling. Two is eye contact. Three is my body language, my tone, right? Making sure that that is bringing honor to the other humans that are around me. So it's about honor. How can I bring honor to another human being versus trying to get honor from other human beings? Remember, hello, this has been the theme for the weekend. Most of us are in the place of wanting to get. We're wanting to get honor. You got to get out of the getting place and get into the giving place. So the giving place is, how do I give honor? How do I give honor? So you give honor with a smile. You give honor with remembering their name. You give honor with proper communication with your body language. What are other ways that you can give honor? Huh? Edifying. Yep, listening. Listening is absolutely the path of honor. We dishonor and disrespect by not listening. So for example, if your boss or a team player says, hey, you know, a coworker says this needs to be done by such and such time, you're like, oh yeah, cool, sure. And you do not even pay attention to what needs to get done. There's specific instructions that need to get done. You choose not to do those things. That is dishonor. When you dishonor, you devalue. When you dishonor, you devalue. Who's in charge of your value? Who's in charge of your value? Who's in charge of your value? Yeah. You are in charge of your value. You're in charge of it. And so far, we've got more than a handful of things that helps to increase your value. Can you apply these at home? Yes. Work? Yes. How many of you spent too much time devaluing yourself? Okay. So who's in charge of increasing your value? Yeah. No one else. Okay. So honor. What are other ways to honor, to give honor? So we have listening. We have eye contact, remembering people's names. My attitude. Respect, following through, diligence, results, and not the results you're looking for. Hello? Get out of the economy of getting. What's the results that they are looking for? What's the results they are looking for? Hello? You need to get out of the getting economy. You need to get into the giving economy. He who is in charge of giving is always going to get a return. Did you hear me? He who's in charge of giving is always going to get a return. He who is in the space of getting is not always going to get a return. You'll have many dry seasons. Did you hear me? You'll have many famine seasons if you are in the get, give me spot. Versus I'm going to give you spot. So last night we're studying two leaders, two national leaders. What did they both do? What did they give? Honor. They gave honor instead of attack. Instead of trying to get back. Instead of retaliation, they gave honor. Okay? So honor. What's another way? So we have diligence. We have the results that the other person wants, not the results that you want, right? Listening to what they are interested in versus listening to what you're interested in. I can feel some of you going, gosh, am I going to be able to do anything that's for me? I saw it. I literally saw it. It's like little white bubbles, ding, over people's heads. Like, ding, 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 ding. Gosh, you know, at some point, do I get anything for me? How do you make what easier? She says, how do I make it easier to listen to something that is that I'm totally not interested in? You ready? It's not about you. So again, so look at this. That's the position of getting. Talk to me about what I'm interested in. Talk to me about what I'm interested in. Talk to me about what I'm interested in. Be interested in what I'm interested in. This is the position of give me what I want, just like a baby. Does that make sense? First, give them what they want, which is what? They want to receive honor. They want to be heard. They want someone to be interested in what they're interested in. Okay? So when it comes to people, people want to feel special and they want to feel important. They want to feel special. They want to feel important. Okay, so I'm going to show you something so powerful. How many of you would like to know how to build a reputation, build a legacy, build a brand that's far bigger than you and goes completely hog wild, out of control, beyond your ability? Okay? And in spite of your total screw-ups, in spite of your character issues, that it goes faster without you. Okay, first of all, what are you looking at right now? You're looking at someone who has done that. And how do we know we've done that? The room is full. Results. Results is what determines what somebody knows. So how in the world does a nobody from nowhere with no education and no talent get their name all over the world? And millions of people have heard the story. Millions of people have been impacted. How does that happen? No, here you go. What you focus on is what you get good at. What you focus on is what you get good at. And what I'm about to show you is something that I've done for almost 30 years. For almost 30 years. These things I'm talking about, the smile, all this stuff. By the way, this is all faithful with the... A smile is a little thing that has a big impact. And that's what you want to be looking for. What are the little things I can do that'll have a bigger impact? Now, these are the places that, again, 98%ers refuse to do. They refuse to do. They want to have the big, important thing that they're going to be told to do that's super complicated so that they can look and act smart before man. But there's something really powerful in knowing you're dumb. You don't look for those big old hard things to do when you're dumb. Do you hear me? There was a great benefit in me knowing I was dumb. There's something really powerful in knowing you're stupid. When you know you're stupid and you know you're dumb and that everyone else around you is better than you, you know you're going to have to work harder and smarter than everybody else. You know that it's going to take you longer than it takes everybody else. And when you know it's going to take you longer than everyone else, you don't have an expectation to have results overnight. So you become content with who you are and who you're not. And you try to be somebody that you're not. You just know, I'm going to need an extra 10 years, maybe 20. But I'm going to work hard, I'm going to be diligent, and I am going to apply this with everything I've got. Why? Because I'm dumb. The smart people will go, okay, I'll try a little bit of that. And when they try a little bit of that, they don't get very far. Because smart people are lazy. Talented people are lazy. Talented people tend to be lazy. Because everything's too easy for them. So they don't have to try as hard. So what I'm going to show you, well, first of all, I'm going to show you the results. How many of you, the very first time you ever heard the name or saw the face, Danny Johnson, was by a personal referral? Look around the room. Look around. Come on. Some of you want to stand up and look all the way to the back. First time you ever heard of the name, saw the face, Danny Johnson came from a personal referral. We really want to capture this. Personal referral. Put your hands down. How many of you, the very first time you heard the name or saw the face, Danny Johnson, it was not from a personal referral? Raise your hand. Look around the room. What is that ratio? It might be 10 to 1. I think it's about 90% of this room has been filled by a personal referral. Maybe 10% came from another source. Now let's divide the sources and see where the heck did you come from and how in the world did you hear that name? First of all, how many think it'd be a good idea to master the art of personal referrals? Do you know I've been asking this question for more than 2 decades, and guess what it has been every time? Personal referral. Personal referral is how the room is filled. Personal referral. How many think it makes sense to master the art of personal referrals? Millions of people have gone to our website, watched our show. Millions of people have read our articles. Millions of people have found us from personal referrals. Way before I was ever on television. So watch this. How many of you, your first entry point to hearing the name or seeing the face of Danny Johnson was Oprah Winfrey? One. Just one. So what's more powerful than Oprah Winfrey? How many of you saw the show with me, with Oprah Winfrey? Wow. Five. I was on at the top of the hour, which is the number one spot to be in. I was not on for one short segment. I was on for the first 20 minutes. That is a $16,000 spot that didn't cost me a dime. Guess how I went up on Oprah Winfrey? Personal referral. Personal referral. Yep. So, which, by the way, people pay $8,000 a spot to be interviewed by her. At least it was during that time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want Oprah to have you on her show? It's going to cost you $8,000 for 3 minutes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if she's going to promote your book, she's taking 70% of the profits of your book. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How do you think she made $1 billion, fool? Very wise promoter. A storyteller. She's a storyteller. In some cases, it's 90%+. 90%+. Dr. Phil. You don't even want to know how much she makes from him. Oh, yeah, every person she's launched. In fact, she wanted to do that with me. And I said, sorry, honey. You will not own the name, face, or likeness of Danny Johnson. I belong to the one true living God. Sorry. Sorry, not today. Not today. But she still had my 3 books on the screen. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have one from Oprah Winfrey. Benny Hinn. Three, Benny Hinn is more powerful than Oprah. It's true. His show is in 210 nations. I've been on the show more than 30 times. And he has reran my show for the last 10 years. I was on the show in 2008. Some people just saw it last year. Like, wow, you changed your hair really fast. You were a blonde last week. No. TBN. One. TBN is about as powerful as Oprah. CBS. ABC. NBC. One. Two. Two on CBS or NBC? NBC. Okay. Secret Millionaire. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have 14 from Secret Millionaire. That was an hour-long prime time, tons of promotion. And by the way, guess how I ended up on Secret Millionaire? You're looking at a girl who never wanted to be on TV. Never wanted to be on TV. Never wanted to be a broadcaster. Wanted nothing to do with any of that stuff. Scared the crap out of me. And this just was not in my plan. Search engine. Search engine. You Googled something. What did you Google? Home business training. What did you Google? Christian millionaire. What did you Google? Hey, team, marketing. Are you paying attention to the SEO here? Hello? Marketing, where are you? Okay, awesome. You're paying attention to the to the keyword searches? Okay, so Christian Millionaire, what's next? How to make money from home. Christian parenting. Business coach. Where else? Where's the SEO people? Yes? Hebrew roots. Booyah! Booyah! Yes! Love it. That's all you're going to get from me, by the way. I'm not going to teach you the floating in the cloud Christianese. That's what it is. It's just floating in the air. It's not connected to its roots. Yes. Can you stand up for me? Because I can't hear you when you're sitting down. Christian millionaire coach. Next. Personal financing. Yes. MLM coach. But you found me. But you found me. Yes. Baby doll, I can't hear your beautiful face. And you are adorable, by the way. I love the hair. I love the outfit. You're just gorgeous. The glasses, everything. What's your name? Hi, Pam. I'm Danny. Very nice to... Can I have a hug? Can I have a hug? Sorry. Hey, good to see you. Good to see you. Hi. You're just beautiful. Nice to meet you. You're just gorgeous. So nice to meet you. I love the night. Just this whole thing. It's awesome. Okay, so what did you type in?
I saw you on another talk show.
What was the talk show? Steve Harvey. That's right. Okay, who saw me on Steve Harvey? One, two, three. She was just me. I'm the only one that watched it. Okay, so four Steve Harvey. So we have four Steve Harvey, five Steve Harvey. Five came from Steve Harvey. Okay. All right, so search engine. Who else searched me and that's how you found? You searched something and you found me. Looks like a lot of spiritual team. Yeah. Okay, so let's go to Facebook. How many of you, first time you ever saw the name face, liked us of Facebook? Facebook? Okay, so Facebook, was it an ad on Facebook? No? Okay, who answered an ad on Facebook? Raise your hands. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Eight were Facebook ads. Okay, non-Facebook ads, raise your hand. Okay, so how did you find me on Facebook? Someone shared a video. Who shared the video? As a friend. So that is a personal referral. Same thing. A friend shared a video that is a personal referral. Okay. Twitter. Goose egg. Instagram. Goose egg. YouTube. Inspirational speakers is what you typed into YouTube. Inspirational speakers. YouTube. Are we writing this down? YouTube. Oh, wait. All YouTubers. You found us on YouTube. Raise your hands. Okay. So I want to know what you searched for on YouTube. So he said... Sexy millionaire. And she got a 50-year-old mother of five, grandmother of eight. I love that. Thank you. That's awesome. Did you catch that one, team? Woo, that makes me feel good, man. I showed up for sexy millionaire? That's amazing. Okay, so we have an inspirational speaker. I guess we shouldn't tell everyone I have five kids and eight grandkids. I think it makes me unsexy. Anyway, inspirational speaker, sexy millionaire, crazy things that people type in. Next, over here. I'm sorry, can you stand up? Oh, it was in YouTube. Okay, so personal finance on YouTube. Next. Stand up, gorgeous. What does the Bible say about business? Okay, Brian, you're the one writing these down. This is so awesome. Where else? YouTubers. Yes, ma'am. That's really sweet, because I'm sure my face is going... Because that's usually what it looks like on a video. Okay. Well, that's really sweet. Thank you. That had to be God. Okay, next. Stand up, gorgeous. How to succeed in business. Okay. YouTuber? Don't ask a janitor about million-dollar businesses. What do you mean? You didn't type that into a search, but you... But how did you... Yeah, that is one of them. Yeah. That's wild. Okay, cool. Okay, so how else did the rest of you 10% find us? Yes.
I found me on the radio.
Found me on the radio. Yeah, who else heard me on the radio first time? Radio? Really? That's amazing. What station?
I don't remember.
It was my show. Yes, Heartbeat Radio. Yeah, Heartbeat Radio. Yes.
Caleb.
Yeah, both of those were Christian-based. Okay. Anything else? Okay, so now you guys see what is more... Oh, wait. What? The book. How did you get the book? No, but what were you searching for on Amazon.com? Books that what? Books that supported your company. So you typed into Google books that support my company? You put your company name. So you put books that support and then your company name, and my book came up. I was a referral of the book. So Amazon. Okay. Yes? Yes, so I spoke at a convention, so that would have been another, which makes that what? That's a personal referral. That's a personal referral. All right, so what is the most powerful, more powerful than Oprah, Benny Hinn, TBN, CBS, ABC, Secret Millionaire, Forbes, more powerful than Forbes? Okay, how many of you found me through some kind of print, some magazine or newspaper, some article that was written? Anybody find me for an article? Goose egg. So what's more powerful than Entrepreneur, Success Magazine, Forbes, the Wall Street Journal? Oprah, Benny Hinn? How many of you would like to build a reputation and a brand that is much bigger than yourself? That's way beyond your skill set. Way beyond even the ability of your team. That in spite of all of your hang-ups and your jacked-upness and your lack of skill, that it still gets built beyond you. I'm going to tell you, there are just a few areas that I have focused on for 30 years and how we have all gotten to this place where we are today and how it's been filled all these years is by the same exact skill sets. And it's faithful with the little things, faithful with people. Smile to who? Everyone you possibly come in contact with. Okay? These things I've been talking about all morning are things that I've practiced at Walmart, at the post office. I still to this day practice these things. At a restaurant, at the airport, on an airplane. Do you understand? Behind the stage. Back here when I'm walking through the filthy parts of a hotel, which is only the part that I see. It is. So when I'm walking through here, I am shaking hands. I am waving. I'm calling people beautiful. I'm asking them how many kids they have, how many grandkids they have. I am getting them to talk about themselves, asking them how long they've been employed here, what they like about their job. I do it in the small places. I'm faithful with the little things. So it's in those places. So what? I've worked hard on not being a hypocrite or a manipulator, but bringing honor in my home and to strangers, perfect strangers, and my coworkers. Is it always easy? No. Do I always want to do it? No. Do I do it 100%? Perfect all the time? No, but I'm going to show you, in addition to everything we've talked about, this one next skill that is really super important, okay? And then this afternoon, you're going to learn one that is so powerful. Now, first of all, just to give you context, how many of you have ever heard of unlimited success? Okay, cool. And 6 figures in 6 months. Okay, how many of you are in direct sales? Okay, direct salespeople, 6 figures in 6 months is a training system that is perfect for what you do. Non-direct salespeople, non-home-based business people, that would be unlimited success. Now, there's 15 strategies in developing a core rapport with people. These are strategies that I've implemented for the last 30 years, okay? So, number one, we talked about smile, right? Two, eye contact. I know I'm going out of order. What was another one? Body language. Right? Four words. Okay. Names. Six. Edify. What I went to talk about the parenting thing, I had realized that I did a really good job edifying in my workplace, like edifying the leaders in the organization and edifying the people that were more at the entry level and just really building respect to them and building respect between each other. But then I realized, oh my gosh, I do not do this with my kids and Hans. It was like bat over my head. You guys are lucky. You get a bat from my mouth, I get hit often by God. A thump, like, ow. You do too. I know you do too, but if you think I'm harsh. Anyway, my point is that I realized that I wasn't edifying Hans to my kids. And kids are surrounded by other kids who say, I hate my parents. Right? I hate my dad. I hate my mom. And so then that programs your children. They want to fit in with those other kids. So what do they start saying? I hate my mom, I hate my dad. There's no edification in school of parents. Not at all. And so I realized, like, oh my gosh, here I'm edifying coworkers. I should be edifying to my sons and daughters about their father. And so I started every few days just saying, do you guys have any idea how blessed you are to have your dad? Your dad is amazing. You know, your dad grew up without a dad. And he is a phenomenal dad. Look at how hard he works for us. Look at how much time he spends with you when he's home, or look at how much he loves you. So I just literally started to edify. His skills are incredible. He's not a lazy guy on a television playing video games or watching the news and sports all day long. I hope you understand that a lot of your friends, that's their dad. That's their dad. Your dad is diligent. He is planning for the future. He's building a legacy. Your dad has a vision for the family. Most dads don't have that. Most dads hate their jobs, hate what they do, complain about it all the time, walk in the door, sit down with a beer and a remote control, and they veg out. And they have no future plan. They have no concept of a vision for their family. Do you realize how blessed you are to have this father? Now, was Hans a perfect dad? No. I'll tell you what, though, man. Today, this man, wow. Like, he's a perfect dad now. I'm serious. In my opinion, like, blows my mind. We had challenges. He was a workaholic for a good season of the time when my kids were little. And so when they would come to me and just say, he's gone a lot, he's not, you know, he's working too much. And I say, write your dad a letter. If you don't feel like you can talk to him, I know he will hear you. But you go ahead and you write him a letter and tell him how you feel. He wants to know how you feel. He does not want to dishonor you. So you need to tell him. Don't come to me to tell him. You need to tell him. He needs to hear your voice. And so they did. They would write him and tell him, like, you're gone too much, or I think you think about work too much, or you're talking about work too much. And so I just said, hey, everyone needs an adjustment. Everybody does. So, and I would have these conversations with my kids also about me. It's like, do you think that I'm working too much? I was working 20 hours a week, and they were sleeping for part of that 20 hours a week, for 2 or 3 hours of that 20 hours a week. Nap time is when, you know, I started wearing work day, so they weren't missing me while they're sleeping. I was just productive while they were sleeping instead of being on Facebook or gossiping or sitting in front of the TV or something stupid. So anyway, so edification is really important, and encouragement for your coworkers, for the boss. You be the one that's casting vision and respect and edification for everyone you work with. It changes the environment, and that increases your value to the marketplace. Okay. What was another one? Listen, I'm going to show you how to do this right now. Number 8, get others to talk. Yes. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. The 3 C's.
The results that they want.
Yes. Focus on the results that they want, and specifically the results from a business perspective, the results that the client wants. What's the result that the client wants? That's what you got to focus on. And then that's what you got to tailor what you do to helping them get those results. Don't just pitch it and not do it. You better follow through. Okay? And it's not your job to it depends on the setup of the business. But for those of you in direct sales, it's not your job to do the work for them. Okay? It's your job to direct them to where they can learn how to do the work themselves. But if you are a hired gun, let's say like a contractor who builds hotels or houses, you better produce the result. Your job is physically to produce the result that they're hiring you to do. So, but in a direct sales situation, when it comes to selling a business, if you will, your job is to direct them to the business that they can profit from and the training that they can learn how to profit from their business using that training. All right, so let's stop here. So those are 10 things that all of us can use. They're very, very simple. A child can do this. But let's go over here. Let me give you a bonus number 11. This is going to be control. Well, let's say lead. I hate the word control. Lead the conversation. I'm sweating. Is it warm in here?
No.
Oh. Well, silk is really insulating. Yeah, this is really insulating, and this is like multiple layers of silk. Sexy 50-year-old millionaire. I got 10 months left, or 11 months before I turn 50. I am positioning myself, focusing on being sexy forever. I'm going to make my man sweat until he dies. I am going to captivate him for the rest of his life. It's a high priority of mine. Okay. Yeah, Hot Marriage Secrets, September. Hot Marriage Secrets, wait till you hear where. Okay, so lead the conversation. So here's how we get people to talk about themselves, and this is really important. Write this word down, form, Okay? And I want you to write another word down, S-I-G-N. This is an acronym. Okay? These are really important. So F stands for family. O stands for occupation. R stands for recreation. M stands for message. Okay? S stands for strengths. I stands for interests. G is for goals. N is for needs. All right. So, in leading the conversation, and really this is about building a rapport. And this is from Core Rapport Methodology in Unlimited Success. There's some of this in 6 figures in 6 months, but not all of it at all, okay? So this is, we're scratching the surface here. There's only so much time in a day. So how you build a rapport, and by the way, building a rapport with somebody is how you develop trust, okay? How you get people to like you is not by impressing them with your knowledge, which is what most people try to do. They try to impress people with their knowledge. They try to impress people with their looks. They try to impress people with how much they know, or they try to impress people with who they know. Okay? So all of that gets a certain result. But all of that does not get this result. Do you understand? You want this result. You want your brand being spread by word of mouth that you cannot control it. Here, I'll tell you. For example, how many of you heard the term the DJU? Okay, how many of you don't know what the DJU is? Okay, the DJU is the Danny Johnson University. That's our entire library of training for business, for relationship, and finance, right? That's what it is. That's the entire library that's been developed all these years, okay? You can take that off. The DJU. However, we as a company did not brand that. We did not even come up with the name of that. We didn't. Nope, that wasn't us. Guess who did it? The clients did. So the clients now are so out of control that they are directing us. Do you understand? They are now the head of the ship. Saying, this is who you are to us. This is who you are to us, DannyJohnson.com. You are our university for life. You are filling in all the blanks that we should have had when we were growing up and when we were in school and when we went to college. That even those who went to college for an economics degree did not learn how to manage their own personal finances. They were not told, don't go into debt. They were not told how to create wealth. Right? So in all the growing up years, a lot of blanks were left out. Everyone had well, good hearts in training you up. They just missed a few spots. How many of you would agree with this? So the clients now, so now the horses are out of the barn and they're all over the globe. And they are telling people about who we are and saying we do things that we don't even have. So when they started saying the DJU, and they also created a page on Facebook called the DJC Dormitory. We never did that. That wasn't us. That was you. So do you understand what I'm saying? So when I'm talking about, okay, yes, all those other forms that you can do of try to impress people with who you are, try to impress people with your knowledge, try to do all that crap, try to impress people with your looks, or try to impress people with who you know. In fact, watch this. How many of you prior to hearing it here this weekend did not know that I was on Oprah? Look. All those people had no idea I was on Oprah. So they didn't come here because they knew I had been on Oprah. Who gives a flip whether or not someone was on Oprah? So those things work to a certain degree, but that is not what causes a brand to get developed faster than your skill. But what does get a brand developed faster than your skill is what's on that board. I am telling you exactly what I've done, exactly what our team has done, exactly what we've been doing here all weekend long, purposed, positioned to do this. And even with our volunteers who've been purposed and positioned to do this right here. So what is this? It's all those 10 things. Now let me show you the 11th thing. Get people to talk about themselves. What do people like to talk about? Their family, their work, their fun. Okay? So you get people to talk about their family, their occupation, and their recreation. Now, here's a huge warning. There's great responsibility that you're going to have with this skill that I'm about to teach you. Because if you're a manipulator, you're going to use this in your favor. To manipulate for yourself to win. And manipulation comes with many curses. So there is a responsibility with what you're going to learn for the rest of this afternoon. A huge responsibility. Because you're going to learn more about people than you do your product, your company, and your service. And it is going to cause you to rise up very high in your organization, in your community, in your family, very, very quickly, depending on how quickly you use this. So I'm going to show you how to lead a conversation, to build trust, to build a rapport, to find out exactly what motivates the person, perfect stranger, that you're going to talk to. You're looking for their sign, their strengths, their interests, their goals, and their needs when you're getting people to talk about themselves. And this is kind of like a pseudo interview. So whether you're looking for a job or you're looking for a customer or you're looking to hire somebody or you're looking for a date, this is what you want to do. Even if you're looking for a date for your son, you're looking for a prospective spouse for your child, you are going to do this. If you are looking for a job and you're in front of an interviewer, you don't walk into that interview and allow them to drill and interrogate you, but instead you flip the table on that person and now you use this skill to lead the conversation, to build a rapport, to find out what the strengths, interests, goals, and needs are of the company and of the position, so then you can give the message of what you can do for them. Versus the same old stupid pitch that everybody gives. Well, I believe I'm the perfect candidate for this position because of my integrity, because of my dependability, and my extensive experience in IT. Do you know how many times a day the interviewer hears that crap? And they literally want to puke when they hear it. Trust me, I know. I've interviewed hundreds of people. I have clients who have interviewed hundreds of people, and they say, this is disgusting every time. Like, I can't, as soon as someone says that, I know this is not the candidate. 9 hours of interview. Yep. Form. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so seriously, don't walk into a job interview and say that. And if you have someone say that in the next job interview, if you're looking to hire, that is not your candidate. That is a standard pitch. They've sent that 12 times to 12 different companies. Yep, poser. 98%er, poser, pitcher. That's what that is. Okay, so I need somebody who has never been here before, that has never listened to Unlimited Success or any of the training concerning communication skills. She's already here. Sorry. Sorry. Wow, your eyes are amazing.
Thank you.
Those are gorgeous. They look very similar to my little sister's. Look at how light they are. They're like a light khaki green. Do they change color all the time?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Danny.
Hi, I'm Abby.
Abby, mm-hmm. You're beautiful.
Thank
you. Can I have a hug?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. So you and I are at Walmart.
Okay.
Okay. I need all of you guys to pay attention. I want you to be listening for strengths, interests, goals, and needs. Okay. Just pay attention and watch. So you and I are at Walmart. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's go over here because we're standing in line because it's like 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And do you know how long the lines are around that time?
Really long.
Right. So the checker is way over there. Mm. And we got a lot of people in front of us.
Okay.
Can you already feel the tension?
Yeah.
It kind of sucks. So I want you to just be as natural as you possibly can.
Okay.
Okay. So I've got a big, like, cart full of toilet paper.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. I have a lot of people who poop in my house, so.
Yeah.
And I have some kids and grandkids who like to play with toilet paper. So anyway, so you and I are there. I'm gonna move us a little bit more. Hey, I love your shoes. Can I tie it for you?
Yeah.
Okay. These are great. I have a pair of these upstairs. They're awesome. Keep your feet nice and warm, yeah? Yeah. Okay, so we're at Walmart. Okay. All right. Man, can you believe how crazy busy this place is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you normally shop here, like, at this time of day?
No.
You don't? Mm-hmm. So you don't know if it's always this slammed?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's crazy. So you're from around here?
No.
You're not?
No.
Where are you from?
Ohio.
Ohio. What part?
Westerville.
Where?
Westerville.
Westerville. Hmm. Where is that near?
Sort of near Columbus.
Oh, okay. So were you born and raised there?
Mm-hmm.
So
well, not in Westerville, but yeah.
Where were you born?
I was born in, like, Whitehall area.
Which is near?
In between Reynoldsburg and Gahanna. It's like in the middle of Columbus. Like, oh. It's, yeah, it was there before Columbus, but Columbus kind of built around it.
So what are you doing here in D.C. at Walmart?
I am buying Danny Johnson stuff at Walmart. Yeah.
That's wild. Who's that?
You know, just this person that, like, I heard about from my host mom. Just casual conversations. Yeah, I don't know her.
Wow, that's wild. That's awesome. Okay, so what do you like about Ohio or Westerville?
It's a lot nicer than Whitehall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How so? How is it nicer?
Well, Whitehall is like a little small town that pretends to be ghetto. Like, really kind of trashy, but pretends to be ghetto. And Westerville is more of the middle class, so a lot more opportunities.
Like what?
Like better schooling, more jobs, better people in general.
Tell me more about that, better people in general.
People that have goals and, you know, have good families, stuff like that.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So speaking of family, where is all your family?
Whitehall.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Whitehall.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So why did you leave Whitehall?
Not the things that I want. And like Westerville are the things that I want. And they did not have them.
Wow. So what are some of the things that you want?
I'm sorry. I'm just seeing your strategy. things that I want are, yeah, the skills that I didn't learn growing up. I want to be able to learn those skills and be able to be successful and, you know, not do the same old thing.
Wow, that's amazing. So are you working? Oh, the line is moving. You're not.
Not at the moment, no.
Are you in school?
Yeah.
What are you studying?
Well, I'm in high school. So.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. How old are you?
17.
My goodness, that's amazing. That's awesome. So are you, what year are you in school?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. What's your favorite subject?
Probably English or choir.
You sing?
Yeah.
What do you like to sing?
I just sing everything, really. I don't really have a specific genre that I like to sing.
Really? Mm-hmm. So what do you like about being in choir?
Well, I don't know. I just like to sing, like, my entire life, and I just understand it. Something that I understand, something that, like, speaks to me and moves me, and it touches everyone, no matter who you are. Mm.
That's amazing. How did you get into singing?
Like I said, I was just came out of the womb singing pretty much. Just singing all the time. And my family have always encouraged me to sing. And so in school, I got into choir and I just continued from there.
What do you want to do with singing?
Probably be a choir director.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Well, me sitting in choir, I notice things and, I always have the tendency to want to correct everyone in the room.
Oh.
And you know, what better way to do that than to be the choir director, you know? Might as well.
That's really good. That's really, really good. So what do you like to do for fun when you're not in school?
Well, I usually hang out with friends, just kind of like drive around. I like to learn languages. I've been teaching myself Korean, which is pretty fun.
Wow. What's the interest in Korean?
I like K-pop.
a lot.
What's that?
Korean pop music.
You do?
Yeah, I love it. It's great.
Wow.
I gotta find out what that is. I don't know if I've ever...
I will show you. It's great.
That would be so awesome. Yeah. That would be really, really awesome.
So does it sing? Do they sing?
Yeah, they sing. They dance. Ugh, so much better than American music. So much better.
That's awesome.
The production value is like a movie. Every time you watch a music video, it's ridiculous.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
See the kind of...
You should. Look up BTS. They're great.
BTS.
Yes. Okay. You know, armies represent. That's a fan base. It's called armies.
Okay. That's awesome. That's really awesome. Wow. So what do you not like about school?
Probably just like the high expectations. Like they're kind of unrealistic. Like most of the time you go in there and you're learning these things that you're never really going to use. Like geometry. I'm not ever going to use that. I'm going to be a choir director, and I'm not going to be a geometry teacher. And there's literally no reason for me to learn those things. Teach me how to do my taxes. I don't even know. How do I even go about that? I don't know how to do that. I don't know. They don't teach you anything that you really need to learn, except how to memorize and vomit what you've memorized. That's it.
It's amazing points you've just made.
Yeah.
Really amazing points. We're checking out finally. Man, you've helped this conversation go by so smooth and so easy. Thank you so much, because we went through the line. No, so fast. No, I'm checking out.
Oh,
you're still
okay.
In line.
I'm still in line.
Yeah. You know, what was your name?
Abby.
Abby. I'm Danny.
Nice to
Very
meet you,
Very nice
Danny.
To meet you. Abby, I couldn't help but notice that you were saying that you really love where you're living, because you're in a city where people are goal-oriented. They want to become successful. They know what they want to do with their life, and that you don't like being in an environment where people don't know where they're going, and it's kind of ghetto, and that there is no vision or drive for the future or anything like that. And you are also saying that you hate wasting time on learning things that are senseless, like geometry.
Yes.
I really appreciate the leadership that you have, and I really appreciate your vision for being a choir director and knowing that you must lead, and leading in music and singing, which is what you're really, really good at. I don't know if the organization I am partnered up with is even something that would be remotely close to what it is that you're looking for. But I happen to work with a team of people that agrees with geometry is a waste of time unless you're going to be an engineer. And that it's important to have goals and to be success-minded and to go after those things. But I don't know if that kind of an organization is like a match for you. But I would love to exchange contact information and get to see some of these videos from the Korean pop people that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And maybe I can get you some information about this community that I work with that helps people to succeed, helps people figure out their finances for the future, that really believes in instilling the proper teaching into the next generation so that they are fully equipped to succeed in life instead of floundering with geometry.
Yeah.
But you can pass the information on to someone else that if it's not applicable to you, you might know someone else that is looking to connect with an organization and some teaching that actually helps in those particular areas. So when's the best way, what's the best phone number to get a hold of you at?
My cell phone number.
Okay, so what's that number?
614.
Uh-huh. All right, and Abby.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
A-B-B-I-E.
That's why I ask. You go, girl. Okay, that's awesome. Okay, so I have you there. And then what's the best time to contact you?
I mean, anytime, if what you're offering is what I need.
Okay. So is there a time not to contact you?
Preferably when I'm not sleeping.
Okay.
Well, your time is probably different than mine, but on my time, probably, like, I wake up at 6, okay. So, like, 8 would be good.
Okay, cool.
Give me time to wake up.
Sure. Makes perfect sense. All right. So I will. I'll go check my calendar and see if 8 o'clock works tomorrow.
Sure.
All right. And then what about later tonight? Do you have any availability later on?
Probably like. Yeah, around 8 again.
Around 8 again? Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, so I'll check that out. And again, I don't know if the information is necessarily applicable for you, but you might know somebody that just hates wasting time with things like geometry, that really wants to beef up and understand finances so that they can succeed in life and to be around a group of people and a community that is learning things that are better for the future and learning how to succeed in things like leading a choir and leading the best singers that you possibly could be leading. So, again, you can pass that information on, and I can't wait to see who these K-pop people are. So, yeah, it was awesome meeting you.
Nice.
Have
you
fun
too.
With the checkout, girl. Okay. You're amazing.
Thanks.
You're amazing. Okay, so I just formed her. Now watch this. Okay, based on this example, Do I live in Ohio?
No.
You don't know where I live?
I don't know where you live.
Okay, am I married?
I wouldn't have known from that conversation.
No. Do I have any kids?
Not from that conversation.
Where do I work?
I have no idea.
What do I do?
I have no clue.
What product or service do I sell?
I don't know.
So yeah. You know absolutely nothing about me?
Yep.
And you just gave me your cell phone number.
Yeah, I did. I did that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. A good thing you didn't ask for my social security.
Because I would have got it.
Probably.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Okay. So you met a perfect stranger at Walmart. You do not know anything about her, yet you trusted enough to give your phone number.
Yeah.
How did that happen? That's how that just happened. I was smiling. I had eye contact. My body language was friendly with her. Her name, I got her name, I used her name. I edified and I encouraged her based on what? Her strengths and her interests. On her strengths and her interests, I edified her and I encouraged her. Did I listen? Did I get her to talk? Don't criticize, condemn, and complain. Didn't do that. Right now, okay, so what did I sell her? I sold her what she wanted. I sold her the results that she wanted, okay? And how did I do all this? I led the conversation, got her to talk about herself. I did not say anything about me. I did not say anything about me. Nothing. Why? Because people are more interested in themselves and their own interests than they are in you. They get interested in you only after you show an interest in them. So she doesn't know anything about me. But she gave me her phone number. And you're like, well, she's 17. No, trust me. This generation is more shrewd than the older generation. They're more guarded than my generation. They're not as quick, and they certainly don't trust older people. And nor should they. Nor should they. Especially you. Sounds like you had a similar childhood than me.
Yeah.
Right? Sounds like you identified with me. Right? We're going to do another example.
Okay.
Ready? Because you don't look 17 at all. You have a lot of maturity. And you know what? Because of your past being similar to mine, my past actually helped me in understanding people. Because of the levels of abuse I came from matured me in certain places that others who haven't been through what you and I've been through, they lack maturity in those places. Because it's in the conflict is where intimacy gets birthed. So if we're willing to forgive and we're willing to move on, we have a deeper empathy for other human beings. We have a deeper heart and compassion for people who have suffered. So we have an easier interest in others than those who grew up in Leave It to Beaver land. So it's actually a gift. It's a gift when we had to go through all the hard crap in the beginning of our lives, because it has turned on sympathy, empathy, and connection with pain that is in every human being. So we have a gift of being able to gain understanding through that channel. That's only if we follow the directions yesterday and last night, though. Otherwise, we become hard, hateful, bitter, and undirected. Make sense?
Yeah.
So your childhood was a gift, a blessing, everything you saw.
Now you're trying to get me to cry.
No. You are fighting back tears. You're trying not to cry. I'm not trying to make you cry.
Okay.
And when I brought you my message, that same thing happened in your eyes. When I began to edify her and I began to give her my message, you didn't see it from the camera, but your eyes. What happened when I started to give you the message?
This.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Why? Because I was speaking directly to your need, to your goals, to your interests and your strengths. And that, gorgeous, is honor. That's honor. Which is something that you and I, as little girls, it's something you were denied. And see this man right here?
Thank you.
See this man right here? He has the same gift. Because he was badly abused by church people. And look at me, abused in every way. So that's why those eyes are filled with tears. Badly abused by church leadership, and I mean in every way. He understands. He grew up with dyslexia. He grew up with a bunch of learning disabilities. And because of that childhood, sympathy, empathy, great interest in helping other people who have suffered is what has been birthed out of him. So he can connect to people in a very high level that someone who hasn't suffered does. Fourth grade education. Don't be deceived by the good-looking, well-dressed man. Fourth grade education. Who directs CEOs and leaders who contact him because of this. He is. He's amazing. Thanks, Daniel. So, we're going to do... So, when I said honor, so what I just demonstrated was honor, okay? From the depths of my heart. I knew when you started talking, like, this girl and I have a lot in common. We have a lot in common. Why? Because I'm not thinking about myself. I was connecting spirit to spirit. So I actually have seen a part of your childhood inside of my mind's eye. I can see sirens too. Yeah. So honor is what you felt when I gave the message. And that's something you were denied as a little girl. Was honor. But that changes today. Right. I want you to stay away from guys for a season.
Okay.
Please. Don't make the mistakes I made. Keep your body protected. Okay. Don't give your body over to a man until you're married. I'm talking to my former 17-year-old self. Okay. Don't give your body. You don't need to be loved. And I believe with my whole heart that God has a wonderful, amazing man that you will trust, that will show by his current results of honor with you. Not mistreating you, not hiding you, not cussing you out, not trying to make you jealous, not manipulating you. Do you understand me? You stay far and away from all those cats who look for a girl like you to hurt. Why? Because they're hurting. But there will be a man who will honor, cherish, and respect you. Because from this day forward, that's the seed you're going to be planting in other people. Okay, you're going to be planting those seeds of honor. Therefore, you are going to attract honor to you. Make sense? Okay. Okay. We're going to do another example, and this is how to F it up.
Okay.
I know you understand what I really said.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just speak in her language. So we're back at Walmart. Okay. And man, can you believe how crazy busy this place is?
Yeah.
It's like slammed. Do you normally shop here?
No.
You don't? Okay, awesome. You know, you seem like a really smart person, and you seem like the kind of person that probably enjoys good health. I have these amazing health products. I think you would really enjoy them. In fact, here's a brochure. Right here. So check this out. So these are incredible. Like, this helps with digestion. This one helps mental clarity. This one helps to energize you, give you more energy and things like that. This one right here helps you to lose weight. And this down here is for skincare. And so I think you would really enjoy all of this. It's like really incredible. I've certainly enjoyed it. And I'm pretty sure that, and you might know some people that probably could use this as well. You might know someone that needs to lose weight or someone that needs to get more energy, more mental clarity. You might know somebody who like needs to sleep better. Do you know anybody that needs any of that kind of stuff? Because I would love to get that product to them. And then actually, why don't you come on Tuesday night? You can come to a business presentation and you can learn how you can sell this stuff, and you can sign up your friends and their friends are going to sign up their friends. And it's an incredible system where you can make like $10,000 a week, like next week. Would you be interested? And would you like to come and join me in my business where we sell these things and we build downlines? I want you to meet my upline. They're really cool. And then you can make money. It's a really awesome opportunity. Would you like to come on Tuesday night to do that?
What's your name?
Oh, my name is Danny. And by the way, do you want to buy a house? Because I'm also in real estate. You probably seen my face all over the place. The line's moving. Anyway, you've probably seen my signs all over the place. You know, I work for RealtorDon'tBuy.com. And so anyway, I'm sure, you know, so here's my card on the real estate too. Yeah, would you like to buy a house? Do you have a sell?
I'm fine.
Do you have a house you need to sell?
No.
You don't have a cell?
I'm okay.
You're okay. Okay, yeah. So would you like to come down Tuesday night at 7:30 and check out the business presentation so you could be in my downline?
You know what? I'm busy.
You are?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Like Every Tuesday. Every single Tuesday.
Every single Tuesday. Okay, well, I can give you some information, and I'll give you the website. You can go to the website here.
I don't have internet.
You don't?
I'm sorry.
You don't have
internet. I don't have internet.
Don't have internet.
I apologize. Sorry.
And you're busy on Tuesdays.
Yes.
What about Saturdays?
No, I'm sorry.
Can I have your number?
I don't have a phone.
Can I have your number?
I don't have a phone.
Can I have it?
I don't have it.
Can I have your number? Can I have your number? Can I have your number? Nice. How many of you have ever used that approach with something before? How well does that work?
Not very well.
Now, how many of you had someone use that approach on you? How many of you gotten phone calls from your friends and family members that, like, totally did that to you, right? You feel totally molested. Let me teach you a Spanish term. No me moleste. That's what you're going to say to them. No me moleste. Do not molest me. Okay. Okay. That is not a great approach. I mean, it is an approach. People do it. It just doesn't get you where you want to go as fast as you want to get there. Not only that, but what did that approach do?
Repel.
It repelled her. It dishonored her. It completely dishonored her. I didn't care about anything besides what I was selling, what I was excited about. So why didn't you give me your phone number?
Well, because you were telling me all these things that I don't know you, you know? Don't know you at all, even though I don't know the other one either, but... Yeah, there's clearly a difference.
Wait, you knew that I sold real estate. You knew that I sold skincare. You knew that I sold vitamins. You knew a lot about me on this one.
Didn't know your name. You didn't know my name. I think that's the thing. You didn't know me. Like, I knew you, sort of, but you didn't know anything about me.
Exactly right. Because human beings want to be heard. They want to be known. They want to be heard and they want to be known. And we have a tendency of ignoring our spouses, being too busy for our kids, ignoring our coworkers, not wanting to follow up with our customers. Too quick to move on to the next thing. Become genuinely interested in them, and they will follow you anywhere. They will follow you anywhere. Okay? So here's one more approach. And this is how to double F it up.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
What? She's nervous. This is a double screw it up. Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. We're back at Walmart.
Wow, crazy weather we're having here.
What?
Crazy weather.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Do you shop here often?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yep, I do.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Excuse me.
You're excused.
Okay. This amazing ball of talent who is driven, who is focused, who is determined, so determined she was willing to leave the town in which she grew up in to go to a place that was going to be better for her future, to get out of a rat hole city of gangs and ghetto, to put herself in a different environment, wisdom. Standards. They say that by the time you're 20 years old, you know 2,000 people. She's 17. She knows 1,700. I would never, ever, ever be able to penetrate that center of influence by ignoring her at Walmart. I will never, ever, ever be able to make an impact in her life by ignoring her at Walmart. I will never, ever see if there is any kind of synergy between all the contacts I have and what she needs. Number 12, help other people get what they want first. Then you will get what you want. And if you help other people get what they want, when you are forming somebody, so in the case of what she was talking about, it was perfect to introduce her to the DJC community. Perfect to talk to her about the DJC community. In fact, most of the time when you're forming people, that's probably your message, is to introduce them to the community. Why? Because this community fills just about everybody's need. It really does. But maybe your product or service doesn't fill the person's need that is right here. So say I'm forming her and I'm a real estate agent. She's 17. I don't know that she's 17. Well, I did. I asked you in the first example how old she was. But
who does she have that's an adult that could perhaps buy a house? Her parents. So if I help her get what she wants and I introduce her to the community, to the website, to the shows, right, to the emails, to the free book, right, and I follow up with her, I am now a trusted advocate for her. She is going to invite me into her center of influence. She's going to start recommending me to other people. Why? Because I'm helping her get what she wants, and she has other friends that need what they want. And because I've built the trust, she knows that I am trustworthy to be introduced to her friends or her family members or whoever. So this is how referrals get birthed, is by trust, by advocacy. First trying to help them get what they want versus me first trying to sell her what I want to sell her. Does that make sense? So in the second example, this was a how can I get her money out of her pocket so that I can have it. That's the I get. This is the get category. The first example was the give category. Write this down, really important. Number 13, connectors have high value in the marketplace. Become a connector of people. Become a connector of people. And as a connector of people, people then will connect you with their connections. You will become the source of connections for other people, which is how you become the go-to person. You are a resource to people. If you don't start building a list, number 14, build a list. A list of resources. What this was just called is called lukewarm situational prospecting. Okay? This is lukewarm situational prospecting. What are we prospecting for? Anything and everything. You will always need more connections in your life. You will always forever need connections in your life. Now, what does every company on the planet need? Customers. What else do they need? Talent. Not money. Money comes from where? People. They don't need money. They need customers. Customers bring the money. Okay? So every company on the planet needs people. If you are a connector with a high level of skill set, and what is the high level of skill set? Number one? What's the high level of skill set? Number two? High level skill set? Number three? Words, body language, then words. You understand? This is teaching you a high level of people skills right here. And all of it is simple and all of it is easy. None of this is hard. None of this is hard. What's hard is you choosing arrogance instead of humility. And to me, that's a simple choice. You get to practice this every day from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night. Guess what else this is doing? This will blow your mind. Yeah, it is skill, but beyond that, it's actually bigger than that. This is honoring the greatest of all commandments that's ever been written. Honor. Love. Yahweh, with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your might, and all of your resources, and love your neighbor as yourself. You just learned how to treat others the way you want to be treated. You just learned how to love your neighbor. So when you follow the Torah, which means what? Teaching. Who's teaching? The Father's teaching. This is our Father teaching us how to succeed. Because how many of you are not taught to do this in the home you grew up in? How many of you are not taught to do this at school? How many think it would have been a really freaking smart idea for you to learn how to do this? Can a three-year-old know how to do this? Yes. There are three-year-olds that do it. So this is also what it says. Love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, and teach your children to do the same. How do we love him? We love him by loving what he loves, which is our neighbor. How do we demonstrate that we're walking with him? How do we serve him? How do we have our spiritual purpose? Right there. Right there. She's like, what? Yep. By the way, yes, girlfriend, Hebrew roots, I'm looking at you. Guess what I just taught you? Hebrew roots. That's what this is. That is Hebrew roots right there. When I say Christianity's floating in the air, yeah, how? They're looking to see if their calling is a prophet, if their calling is a evangelist, if I'm called to be a worship leader, if I'm called to be a pastor, floating in the air. Treating their spouse bad, treating their kids bad, sacrificing their family for ministry, looking for this bigger purpose that's floating in the air. The purpose of God has roots. Boom. And it's right there. Yeshua said that my people will be known by their fruit, not by their business card that says prophet. Not by the size of their congregation. By our fruit, by our love. What is that? That is love. That is love. That is loving our neighbor. That is loving our spouse. That is loving our person we're standing next to, the closest neighbor at Walmart that I'm standing next to. You honor this commandment, what do you have working for you? The blessing of all of heaven getting behind you going, boom. Now you're faithful with the little. Now you're faithful with the girl at Walmart. Now you're faithful with the person at the post office. Now you're faithful with the flight attendant. Now you're faithful with the TSA agent trying to touch your balls. Now you're faithful. Which is straight up dishonor. But then you have Yeshua that says, what do you profit for loving only the lovable ones? We have to love the unlovable and love your enemies, which is what we learned last night. It's all about love. What does love bring? Humility and contentment. But this is when all of heaven opens before you and says, all right, you're being faithful with a little. You're honoring my Torah. Here's some more people. Here's some more people. Here's some more people. Here's some more people. Here's some more opportunity. Here's some more money. You've been faithful with a little. Here's some more. Here's some more. Here's some more. Which economy do you want to work in? You want to work in this world's economy? Why don't you follow me into the kingdom of heaven economy? You come into that economy, and that's when numbers don't make sense. That's when you have people in Afghanistan saying, go to DannyJohnson.com. That's when you have people in China saying, go to DannyJohnson.com. That's when you have people in China, Japan, Korea, North and South. That's when you've got people in Korea translating your book in Korean. That's when you've got someone in Latvia, a pastor recommending a book called Spirit Driven Success to some Latvian guy who gets a hold of a book. Pays off his $60,000 worth of debt. Built a $1 million business. Here's some more. Here's some more. You've been trusted with this little territory. Here's some more. You've been trusted with this territory. Here's some more. He is waiting on the edge of his throne to bless you. He's waiting. He's watching. Come on. You can do it. Come on, son. You got this. Come on, son. You're at Walmart, son. Come on, son. Open your mouth. Come on, son. Open your mouth. You don't know this about the girl that's standing in line, but she's been badly abused. Show her some honor. Come on, daughter. You're at the soccer field. Get off your freaking phone. Come on, my daughter. Get off your freaking, get off Facebook, my daughter. You're sitting next to a mom who is lonely. Start forming her. He's going, come on, you could do it. I brought you that crazy broad. She was the only one you'd listen to. You know it. You know. You freaking know. I brought you that freaking untamed, wild, cracking kid. Brought you all the way over there for you to hear it. Come on. I put the instruction in front of you. Come on, do it. Come on. I'm waiting for you. You know what? Come on, take the step. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, watch. He's like, come on. Guys, check it out. Check it out. Yes. 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 He did it. All right. Fill the bank account. Boom. All right. Give another contact. Boom. Give another opportunity. Boom. Open another door. Come on, Gabriel. Go open another door for him. Yep. Literally on the throne, waiting, watching. That's my girl. I brought the cop to your window. I brought the cop to your window. Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, you know what to do. Humility. Form. Love your neighbor. Come on, son. Your wife's right there. She's out of control. She's a frickin' mess. What will you? Come on, daughter. Your husband's had a really bad day. He got beat up at work, slaving at that job for you and the legacy of this family. Come on, daughter. You went to that seminar. I put you in front of that crazy woman screaming at you. It's what you needed. You wouldn't listen to anyone else. What are you going to do with the situation? Come on. I brought the Abimelech. He screwed you over. What you going to do? Come on. I brought him because I know you can do it. I brought him because I know you know what to do. I brought him because I know you can hear my voice and you know your next step. Come on, I brought him so that I can bless you. I brought him so I could bless you. I brought him so I could bless you. Come on, daughter. Here it is. I brought that woman to hurt your feelings so that you make a wise choice, humility or offense. Humility or offense. I want to promote you, daughter. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Come on, girl. Come on. You can do it. You can choose humility. Come on, daughter. I put this in front of you because I know you're qualified. I know you're qualified. Now you're going to know you're qualified by making the right move. Will you choose humility and say, thank you for pointing that out. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. I'm working on this. Thank you. This is a gift. This is a blessing. And then he's like, yes, she did it. She did it. All right, Michael, come on. Send someone to encourage her right now. Come on, send him over. Have some come over and tell her she's beautiful. She's wonderful. She's awesomely made. Awesomely made. Talented, gifted. Ooh, I guess I'm hearing it, aren't I? Awesome, gifted, an overcomer. Come out, daughter of your slumber. Come out, daughter of your slumber. Yes, you were made for greatness. You were made for greatness. You're a great mom. You're a great, great mom. Here's the words, daughter. Say thank you. I receive that. I receive that. I receive that. I receive that. That is true. Come on, that is true. That is true. That is me. And that's his love for me. He loves me. Say it. Yes. Just the way I am. Just the way I am. Yes. Amen. Amen. I see you back at 2:30. Go to lunch with three people you do not know.
Three people you do not know.